And we have to, because tomorrow really matters. So tell a friend. And you can stay tuned now for the Peter B. Collins Show that's coming up after the CBS News. Have a great long weekend on Monday on Tomorrow Matters. It's the best of. And we'll be replaying the interview with Will Allen, author of War on Bugs. It's a very informative interview. Please do listen in. Have a great one.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Hillary Clinton gave two reasons for not getting out of the nomination race in June. One, her husband didn't wrap up his nomination till then. And two,
we all remember Bobby Kennedy was assassinated in June in California.
Obama's campaign quickly suggested she might be saying he could be targeted by someone. She said, of course not, just marking historic occasions.
I certainly had no intention of that whatsoever.
And she apologized if anyone thought that. As for Obama, he's trying to explain his summit desires with Iran and Cuba and North Korea.
John McCain's been going around the country talking about how much I want to meet Raul Castro, as if I'm looking for a social gathering, I'm going to invite him over and have some tea. That's not what I said. John McCain knows it.
As for John McCain, he released 8 years of his health records to show he's in excellent shape, the opinion of the Mayo Clinic. And Cindy McCain has bent to the pressure and released her tax returns, which show she made $6 million in 2006, paid more than $1.7 million of it in federal taxes. Fire on the aircraft carrier USS George Washington, which started in the air conditioning plant and spread from there.
It took several hours to completely contain and extinguish the fire, but fortunately there were no serious injuries. We did have one minor burn and 23 sailors treated for heat stress.
Commander Jeff Davis at the Pentagon, the carrier is not expected to be able to relieve the Kitty Hawk near Japan as scheduled. It's costing more to go by air. Squeaky baggage conveyors and all. United Airlines has announced hikes in fares.
The flights that are shorter than 400 miles in distance, the increase would be anywhere between $10 to $20 round trip. And on longer flights, the increase would be anywhere between $30 and $60 round trip.
Robin Urbanski at United says they don't really have a choice. The price of fuel drives them to it. And the experts are saying other airlines will surely soon follow. This is how real the impact of high gas prices have become.
The gas is just, it's a lot of money. You know, it's $50 to fill a tank, and before you know it, you're throwing another $50 in it, you know, before you get anywhere.
Americans drove 11 billion fewer miles in March of this year than last March. Prices on average, $3.83 a gallon, up 4 cents overnight. WCBS's Sean Adams on the New Jersey Turnpike today.
That is the sound of fuel economy. Ron Paolillo is cruising to D.C. on his Harley because it guzzles less gas than his truck.
This is about the only trip we're going to be making this summer.
A survey by Deloitte & Touche found a quarter of holiday travelers have changed their plans. 12% have canceled trips altogether.
The first dozen, 12 of the children of polygamy, are being returned to their parents. Texas has agreed to reunite them, but is appealing the order on more than 400 others they have in foster care, pending the state Supreme Court's ruling on the state's handling of the child custody situation in El Dorado. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 146 points today. The Nasdaq was down nearly 20. This is CBS News.
Hey, honey, where are you?
Appliances. They're having a Memorial Day event here at Lowe's. They've got 10% off major appliances, $397 or more. You know, we get 12 months special financing with purchases of $299 or more on our Lowe's consumer credit card? Then I'm off to paint. We can get $5 off 1 gallon Valspar paint. Where are you?
Looking at concrete.
Really?
Yeah, I really like concrete.
Come to Lowe's this Memorial Day weekend. Let's build something together. Credit offer valid 522 through 526. Additional restrictions apply. See store for details.
It's time to turn off our TVs and turn on our senses. Time to dial up the daisies and kickstart the chrysanthemums. Time to uncoil the hoses and unleash the roses. With Liquifeed Advance, the new feeder and liquid plant food from Miracle-Gro, makes feeding your plants as easy as watering and helps you remember there's a big, beautiful world out there. This weekend, get growing with Miracle-Gro. It's grow time.
President Bush put free trade on display at the White House today.
It looked like a yard sale on the south lawn of the White House. There were crates of produce, bicycles, a cement mixer, and even a Harley-Davidson motorcycle.
So we get the deal done with Colombia, that motorcycle will be $4,000 less expensive.
President Bush was using those products to step up pressure on Congress to approve free trade agreements with Colombia, Panama, and South Korea, so as to eliminate the tariffs imposed on American goods exported to those countries. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
It isn't usually taught in schools, observation skills. 12,000 high school students in Britain received their Oxford exams for music that had a printing error. The answers to all of the questions were printed on the back, where the copyright statement's supposed to be. The exam board does not plan to retest, saying 95% of the students either didn't notice or they were honest enough not to cheat. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Imagine all the possibilities for your next painting project. Now imagine saving up to 30% too, only at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams Paint Store. From May 22nd through the 26th, save up to 30% on exceptional paints, stains, wall coverings, and more. But don't wait. Hurry in and save, only at Sherwin-Williams, for painting, decorating, and great savings. At Sherwin-Williams. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hi, Mom.
What's all this?
I got you a cell phone, the Coop from Verizon Wireless. Check it out. It's got a big keypad, easy-to-read screen, plus dedicated buttons for emergency contacts. It's everything you need.
Great. But what's with 4 zillion people?
Oh, that's the network. They come with it.
Hi.
Good to meet you.
Hey, how you doing?
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Hola.
Say hello to the Coop, backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal. Exclusively from America's most reliable wireless network, Verizon Wireless. Call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN today.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage.
Not that.
Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
As we get ready for the Memorial Day weekend, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Say it loud.
I can't take it no more.
I can't take it no more.
What about the WMD?
You know you lied about the KGB. You know you lied about the WMD.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know you lied about the detainees. I know, but this wild.
Oh, we're calling them prisoners now.
Talk about saying because you keep on beating that old dead horse. You know you lied about how we went to war. I can't take you no more.
Old rockers get feisty, crotchety. That's an angry John Fogerty. You remember him from Creedence Clearwater Revival? Well, he can't take it no more. That's the way you feel. You found the right radio show. I know you have a choice. There are a lot of stations on your radio dial, and you've chosen this one with the Peter B. Collins Show. My hat is off to you.
I bet you never saw the old school yard. I bet you never saw the National Guard.
Lots to talk about on the show today. Robert Perry joins us in just a moment. Cliff Schechter, the author of The Real McCain, will be here later. And this has been quite a week for John McCain. He didn't actually throw a pastor under the bus. He just asked him to get off, and he was eager to do so. Hagee was. We'll talk about that. And also lots of the other things that have occurred this week. Lobbyists thrown off the Straight Talk Express. And some other challenges to the McCain candidacy. Wayne Besson will be with us next hour from truthwinsout.org. That's a pro-homosexual group. And we're going to talk about California's new court ruling permitting same-sex marriage. It takes effect in just a few weeks, and we expect a lot of men and women to go to the altar together. And we'll also talk about the court ruling about don't ask, don't tell. Interesting possible court involvement in dismantling that misguided policy. We will go to London to talk with Babak Rahimi from the National Iranian American Council. He's got a word of warning about the U.S. posture toward Iran these days, and basically that the harder you press, the more you unify the Iranian people. And we'll spend our last hour, as usual, talking about election issues with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. HBO launches Recount. It is a fictional dramatization of the 2000 election that was stolen from Al Gore in Florida. And it looks like it's going to be really interesting. Some great actors and actresses taking on the characters. And I can't wait to see Catherine Harris. That is going to be very, very interesting. We'll also talk about that sweep in Texas where they claim that there's rampant voter fraud, and they came up with actually 8 cases. Rampant. Yeah, right. You want to talk to me? I want to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Marco Berger is sitting in for Brian Urban today, so be nice to him. And if he accidentally hangs up on you, just call back. It happens sometimes. We have a complicated phone system here. 888-573-8372. And you can always email me, including our weekend listeners in Seattle, Portland, Missoula, and elsewhere. That's peter@peterbcollins.com. Robert Perry is a great journalist. His most recent book that he co-authored with two of his sons is called Neck Deep: The Disastrous Presidency of George W. Bush. He owns his own printing press on the web. It's called ConsortiumNews.com. Bob, how are you today?
Good, Peter.
Well, good. Before we get to your lead story at Consortium News, I wanted to talk a little bit about the back and forth between Barack Obama and John McCain on Thursday. Obama and Clinton were two of the three candidates who returned to the Senate to debate and vote an amendment, which there were two dueling amendments for expanding the benefits for returning GIs. And one of them is Jim Webb's GI bill, and the other is a watered-down measure that I believe was written by Lindsey Graham and is embraced by Senator McCain. And there was an angry exchange between the two, and I'll put that aside for now. I think we're going to talk with Cliff Schechter about that later this hour. But what I wanted to point out is that while I support Webb's bill, this debate is intended as a distraction to keep us from looking at the bill that it's being attached to, which is $175 billion-plus to continue the occupation of Iraq unabated, and with the happy talk testimony from General Petraeus at the first round of his Senate confirmation hearings before Carl Levin's committee on Thursday, what we see is a very interesting set of circumstances, that there's going to be no change in our policy regarding Iraq and Afghanistan during this year. And the Democrats are really rubber-stamping this. There isn't a whole lot of debate about those issues. Yes, Speaker Pelosi tried to pass a bill with a withdrawal plan attached to it, but she doesn't have the votes, and she knows she can't get a bill like that through the Senate. So this discussion of the GI Bill, again, I support Jim Webb's version, but it is to distract us from the fact that Democrats are signing on to another full year of this war and occupation.
Right. I think that's clear. The, there was only that fig leaf of an effort on the House side to attach a timetable to end this occupation, this 6 years now, five plus going into the six year of war with Iraq. And the Democrats made a calculation that it was not worth the politics to try to force any kind of language through that they knew Bush would veto it, or the Republicans would filibuster it.
Mm-hmm.
So they took a dive. Obviously, at some level, you have the election coming up, and I suppose they view the election as a substitute for putting language into a bill at this point, thinking that if say Obama wins, he would follow through on his commitment to begin pulling troops out, and I suppose if Hillary, she might have be in the same situation should she find some way to become the nominee and maybe the president. So I think you have that, but it is true that the Democrats, if you go back to the fall of 2006 after they won the control of the Congress, they have done very little of substance, either to make a serious bid to stop the war, or even to investigate it. There's been almost nothing. I was having lunch today with an old friend who works on Capitol Hill still, and he was remarking about how different it was even back in the 80s when there were more efforts by Democrats to hold the Reagan and then Bush administrations accountable, at least have some semblance of oversight. But since 2006, there's been very little on the part of this Democratic majority to either change policy or even to seriously investigate it beyond one-day hearings. There's been no Iran-Contra-style investigation, no Fulbright-style review of the Iraq war. really nothing.
And I saw limited coverage of General Petraeus' testimony as he's being anointed the new commander at CENTCOM. And, you know, the most critical issue for me is about Iran. And in the news coverage, both print and the only portion I saw was on the NewsHour covering the Petraeus testimony, I didn't hear word one about Iran.
Well, you certainly should. I mean, there still remains a very live possibility that the United States will engage Iran before President Bush leaves office. I've been told by sources who follow this pretty closely that option is back on the table. It was considered sort of very unlikely for the past 6 months or so, especially after the CIA analysis, the intelligence estimate that concluded that Iran had pulled back from its nuclear program. But now the possibility has been revived. There's more talk inside Israel that Israel may have to make a first strike and then count on the United States to back it up should Iran try to retaliate. And as outrageous as that all may sound, even if just considering the effect it would have on the oil prices and the economy, it is something that is again being talked about and considered with planning. That's what I'm picking up from my sources who follow the intelligence world pretty closely.
Yeah. And Speaker Pelosi was interviewed on the NewsHour, I think it was Wednesday night this week. It was interesting. She was a little defensive, but she said, you know, time and time again, we've tried to pass legislation putting limits or calling for redeployment, and we don't have the votes in the Senate. And that is true. And I do want to just point out parenthetically here that for the first time, Dianne Feinstein, the senator from California, is going to vote against a war funding bill. Even she found that this $175 billion-plus is too much, and that still only makes 34 votes in the Senate. So Pelosi does have a point there. But, Bob, fundamentally, we know that the House is where appropriation bills originate. And if Pelosi really wanted to, she could use what they keep referring to as the power of the purse and reduce or eliminate funding for Bush's occupation of Iraq. And the Democrats will not take that step, and that's why her claims are they're hollow, in my view. What's yours?
Well, I think they are somewhat specious. The point is that to get a funding bill through, you need the approval of both houses of Congress. If either one says no, that stops it. This is not a case where Bush has the real leverage. He can't just by vetoing something say, well, now you have to give me what I want. In effect, the Congress has the upper hand here. If it had the political courage to simply say, here's what we'll give you. If you don't want it because you don't want some strings attached, then you get nothing.
Mm-hmm.
What they're afraid of is the get nothing part, because they're still a bit shell-shocked about the idea of being called soft on terror, betraying the troops, et cetera, et cetera. So it's more of a case of political courage than a case of not having the votes or not having the legislative leverage. They do have that. They, in effect, in the Senate, if you had 41 votes, you could filibuster the money bill as it goes through. You would not even need a majority or 60 votes to get past a Republican filibuster, or 67 to get past a Bush veto. You really can just say, if you don't want what we give you, you get nothing. But that's something where President Bush has still shown a willingness to go eye to eye with the Democrats, and they blink.
And the other area where courage is sorely lacking is regarding impeachment or other ways of bringing this administration into compliance with the Constitution. We'll talk about that and your article entitled Bush's War Crimes and Misdemeanors as we continue. Robert Perry with me. Visit his website, consortiumnews.com, and if you can help support their independent investigative journalism, I hope you will. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Been mattress shopping lately? Then you know the stores around here are pretty much the same, with the same confusing mix of brands and models. But there's a new store in town, one that's very different. The name is SC41 Furniture. The mattress systems at SC41 are totally unique. We start with durable birchwood slats that can be adjusted to match your body contour and ease pressure. Inside the mattress are hand-assembled honeycomb steel springs. They give wall-to-wall support and move independently to reduce motion. Then a layer of high-quality natural latex cushioning holds its shape while providing extra support and comfort. All with a stretch cotton cover that adapts to your body contour, resists moisture, and is 100% natural. So if you've been to the other mattress stores and you're not impressed, come to the new store that offers a better kind of mattress. SC41 Furniture on 41st Avenue, across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz. On the web at sc41.com.
I'm Jane Parker, and I'm running for Monterey County Supervisor. When Monterey County needed help on the problem of child abuse, I helped bring together schools, law enforcement, and social service providers. In the space of just 4 months, we developed a successful new program to protect children that helped hundreds of families in the first year. As supervisor, I'll tackle the problem of gang violence. We need to bring our communities together to keep our neighborhoods safe and our kids out of trouble. Learn more at electjaneparker.com and vote for me, Jane Parker, for supervisor on June 3rd.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Frutti di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood, pasta, and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Frutti di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Frutti di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in friendly Marina. Browse to fruttidimargrill.com or call 384-8525.
Collins Show, 23 minutes after the hour. We're talking with Washington-based journalist Robert Perry. Bob Perry publishes at consortiumnews.com. And, Bob, there is mounting evidence of the war crimes of the Bush administration and key players therein. And I immediately, as I say that, I can feel some people cringing, saying, oh, that language is so strong. War crimes. But that was the name of a folder, a file, that was established by FBI agents who were observing torture at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. They weren't committing it, but they were there as part of the interrogation team, and they watched as contractors, CIA officers, and perhaps military members use these so-called enhanced interrogation techniques. And Glenn Fine, the Inspector General of Justice, has done a pretty good job, 400-plus pages, really showing how the FBI took exception to these practices. They didn't tell us about it, but at least at the time they were documenting these abuses and at least refusing to participate. Well, what does this tell us?
Well, what it tells us is that there were people inside the U.S. government who were doing their jobs. Some of these FBI guys were quite upset that the that there was this pattern of abuse that they were witnessing. But what's interesting also about this report is that we now know from other reporting that this Principals Committee, this group that was sitting in the White House, involving people like Dick Cheney, Condi Rice, Colin Powell, and others, was actually the developing these approaches to how to abuse and supposedly interrogate these war on terror inmates. And when the FBI people saw this happening in the field, both at the CIA black sites and at Guantanamo, they were outraged. They were shocked, because not only did they feel these things were war crimes in the way these individuals were being treated, but they also felt it was ineffective. That it posed great risk also for future future prosecutions of these individuals, and this could be used by the by Al Qaeda and American enemies to discredit the United States.
And they were right. Al Qahtani's charges have been dropped. He's still there, detained. I call that a prisoner. But they've had to drop the charges because they were going to have to use evidence derived from torture in an effort to convict him.
Right. And what's interesting is that. So the FBI guys in the field were recording this into this file for on war crimes. They also then reported up the chain of command. They went back to their bosses at FBI headquarters. There was one of the assistant directors there. Then took it to Director Mueller. It was then taken up the chain through the Attorney General, and ends up going back to the Principals Committee at the White House. So the complaints ended up going to the very people who were responsible for the abuses in the first place. And that's where it stopped. Mm-hmm. And the FBI guys were told to get rid of that file that was marked war crimes. And basically they were pulled out of these situations. But the aggressive interrogation approaches, which surfaced, really, we saw them in the photos at Abu Ghraib.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the approaches being taken by the CIA and by the military interrogators when they were interrogating people that they had in their custody. So it wasn't, again, it also showed it wasn't some kind of rogue operation at Abu Ghraib. Those prison guards who ended up facing stiff sentences, 11 of them were court-martialed. Some went to prison for a long time. Those guards were really doing the same thing that the White House had approved. And the other interesting point I try to make in this article you cited is that when George Bush expressed surprise and outrage, shock over what he saw in those photographs at Abu Ghraib, and tried to tell the American people that he was completely opposed to that sort of thing and was going to take stern action, he was really conducting a cover-up. That he and the Principals Committee had authorized pretty much exactly those techniques being used against other prisoners.
And one of the most unconscionable scenes described in the Glenn Fine report is that Chinese intelligence officers were brought in to interrogate Uyghurs. These are Muslim residents of a remote part of China who were sold in, by bounty hunters into U.S. custody. And then we brought over Chinese intelligence officers to, in some cases, we believe, torture them. It's amazing stuff. Bob Perry, thanks for joining us again. The website, consortiumnews.com. Talk to you next week, Robert.
Okay.
From Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Emerson. Whatever the demand, whatever the challenge, with Emerson, you can consider it solved. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Sometimes scientific studies can have quite surprising results. An analysis of personality tests and medical exams of nearly 1,000 older people with religious vocations, Catholic priests and brothers and nuns, suggests that the effects of Alzheimer's may depend on how disciplined and well-organized a person you are in the first place. Your personality may actually protect your brain against medical decline. The story after this. Nobody walks out on the African grasslands one afternoon and says, this is where I'll put a telecom system. That's why businesses turn to Emerson. Emerson accurately predicts what world trends mean for them so they can supply customers with cutting-edge technologies to create a modern wireless network across the vast African plain. You see, Emerson anticipates customer needs so that when they're ready, Emerson is ready. With Emerson, consider it solved.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
In the Archives of General Psychiatry, there are some fascinating findings from a study of 997 priests, nuns, and brothers, average age 75. Everybody took tests, including a standard personality test. None of them had any measurable dementia. And then they were tracked by researchers for 12 years and retested each year for cognitive decline and dementia. When they died, brain autopsies were performed on most of them. And amazingly, it turned out that the brains of some of the well-organized and most conscientious individuals in the study had lesions that would fit the standard criteria for Alzheimer's. And yet, these men and women had no Alzheimer's or other mental decline. That suggests something nobody had suspected before, that a purposeful personality may somehow protect the brain from mental decline. Says the study's co-author, Dr. Robert Wilson of Chicago's Rush University Medical Center, this adds to our knowledge that lifestyle, personality, how we think and feel and behave are importantly tied up with the risk for this terrible illness. It may suggest new ideas for trying to delay its onset. Other studies had linked social connections and stimulating activities like working puzzles with a lower incidence of Alzheimer's and distress and worry with a higher risk. So it may not be true that there's nothing you can do to ward off Alzheimer's. That's something worth remembering. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
1, 2, 3,
yeah, it's okay to sing along. imagine you stopped at a traffic light with a member of the Hip Hop Nation booming out the big beats next door. Go ahead, crank it up. You know, just last weekend I was getting wild and crazy and I tried to shake it like a Polaroid picture, and I don't even know where you can buy Polaroid film anymore in this digital camera era. Everybody's got a camera phone, too, you know. Well, John McCain has had a really lousy week, although he'd be the last to admit it. So for comment, we turn to the author of The Real McCain, subtitled Why Conservatives Don't Trust Him and Why Independents Shouldn't. Cliff Schechter returns to the Peter B. Collins Show today. Hi, Cliff.
Hey, Peter, how are you?
I'm doing fine, and you?
I'm doing swell, my friend.
I understand.
Doing pretty good.
I understand you're on location at a Memorial Day festival there in the heart of Ohio, and I just want to know if that's a place where you can get a deep-fried snow cone.
I haven't been out yet to check it out because I so badly wanted to talk to you, but I will certainly call back in with that information if you want.
Yeah, I hear they do Twinkies and all kinds of things in the deep fryer.
Well, hey, you know, there's nothing that isn't good deep fried, quite frankly.
Yeah. Well, listen, before we get to McCain and his ups and downs, mostly downs this week, at your blog, and I want to direct people to the new location. It's at firedoglake.com, and right there on the homepage at the top, you just click on Cliff Schechter, and boom, you're there. But you comment on a very disturbing comment that Senator Clinton made today before an editorial board. And she said that one of the reasons she's staying in the race was because Robert F. Kennedy got assassinated in June of 1968. And I don't know about you, but I just shudder at that reference to think that she has stayed in this race on the chance that Barack Obama would be shot or killed.
Yeah, she's now saying... if you listen watch the YouTube, listen to it, and watch the context, that she only meant that Robert Kennedy had stayed in the race until June. In other words, in the past, there were many, there were other candidates that had been in the race later, and why were people asking her to get out? That's what her claim is right now. I think, even if it were to give her the benefit of the doubt, and I will for right now and say that she meant that Robert Kennedy was still there in June, I just think picking that name, particularly this week, of all weeks, to do that with what's happened with Teddy Kennedy, I think that she'd like to have that one back. I think that was a really, really inconsiderate, callous, I don't know what way to put it, thing to say. And she's apologized, but she's apologized in one of those, I'm sorry if I offended anybody kind of ways. I think she should know that she's offended a lot of people and should quite frankly apologize straight out, because sometimes whether you mean it or not, you just say something bad.
Well, and this is part of this whole effort that just reeks of desperation to try to claim the nomination from second place. And they're doing backflips and engaging in all kind of fuzzy math to say, well, if every vote is counted, including Michigan and Florida, I win the popular vote.
You don't count four different caucuses, too, by the way, that he won, like Washington and Maine and a few others.
Yeah?
That's how she gets that. I mean, she can stand there and say with a straight face, I think I've tried to be as fair as possible throughout all this. I mean, I've been an Obama guy for a while now, but I don't think I've been one of these people out there assaulting Clinton. But the ridiculousness is just getting to be too much for me. I mean, at this point in time, with her saying that Michigan should count, yeah, it should if we're in the Soviet Union, for example, or, you know, if we were in one of the countries where John McCain has a lobbyist working for him, like Myanmar, perhaps,
yeah.
then it would count when one person's name is on the ballot. But to have it be that they made these rules, one of her top advisors, Harold Ickes, fought for these rules to exclude Michigan, to exclude Florida, they hold a vote, well, Barack Obama does what he's supposed to do, takes his name off the ballot like everybody else, she doesn't. And then she claims that's a victory? I mean, that's so utterly preposterous that how anybody can say that with a straight face makes me not believe anything they have to say, quite frankly.
Well, that is the important thing that I draw from this too, Cliff, that this is parsing. This is trying to reorient the way we think. It's trying to rewrite the rules and change them for her advantage. And how different is that from the anguish that we saw her husband go through when he had to testify before the grand jury and he was parsing words about what the meaning of is, and, you know, that Monica had sex with him, but he didn't have sex with her. And you know, these just show the way their minds work. Part of it is the legal training. I mean, both Clintons are very well-trained lawyers, and they think about ways around the law or the legal issue that is blocking them, and they come up with these novel theories. But even Pelosi, who's trying dangerously, you know, trying, not dangerously, but dramatically to remain neutral, was quizzed on the NewsHour the other night and said, well, the rules say that the person who has the most delegates is the nominee. And you can have a conversation about the popular vote, but that's not the way the rules are written.
Exactly. And it just has gotten to, again, it's preposterous at this point. You know, well, there are a bunch of people that are calling right now. I saw Arianna Huffington was for these people that are staying neutral to stop staying neutral. You know, there's a time to be neutral. I understand party healing and everything, but it just seems to me if she is going to continue to act like essentially a spoiled brat that didn't get their way, it's time for somebody to step forward. And I think at least two representatives did today. In fact, one who had originally endorsed her, Representative Cardoza. And we need more of these people to do this because this thing has to be over with. And if she and her people don't have the good sense and the maturity to end this and admit, you know what, you lost, okay, it's over. Stop the complaining. Stop the whining. Stop calling people that don't support you sexist. You know, you lost. You had every advantage going into it. You had the money. You had the name. You had the connections. You had everything. And you guys didn't even plan beyond Super Tuesday. Maybe that had a little more to do with it than sexism. I don't know.
Well, they're also $20 million in debt, and that doesn't really show you management skills or fiscal responsibility. Cliff, let's move on to John McCain because there's so much to talk about. It's been an amazing week. It started off with lobbyist Rick Davis enunciating a new policy that lobbyists are no longer welcome on the McCain campaign unless they have retired or are, you know, volunteering their time. Now, this is a limited hangout approach. Charlie Black, a well-known lobbyist with ties to Savimbi and the Marcoses in the Philippines, he's still on the campaign. He says he's retired. But this is an issue that I'm glad to see Barack Obama is mentioning frequently, and it has put John McCain on the defensive.
It has, and you know, thankfully this has gotten out there, and I'll give the media some credit. They are covering this now. I mean, this is, you know, I had two chapters in my book in the real McCain, on McCain's sordid connections and the people he hangs around, and he's never been held to account for that. You know, not somebody, not like the Jeremiah Wright situation that was utterly ridiculous. I'm talking about people, he knows their past, he's invited them to join his political campaign. And in the case of Charlie Black, you know, for Rick Davis also, by the way, a guy that already the campaign has lied about his past as a lobbyist because they said that he stopped being a lobbyist in 2003, and I and other people obtained a lobbyist form from August of 2005 where he was still lobbying for his firm. And my math isn't all that great as I'm a writer, but I don't think August of 2005 was 5 years ago.
Right.
They're not being honest. I mean, you know, oh, great. So a couple of guys have walked away who, you know, Doug Goodyear, who's going to run the Republican National Convention, who lobbied for Myanmar, and Tom Loeffler, their national finance co-chair, who lobbied for Saudi Arabia, made $8 million doing it in 1 year when we were trying to ask questions about 9/11. I mean, you know, it's what a joke. There's 115 guys there. They're registered lobbyists. There's people bundling huge amounts of money. It comes out every time you find out about a new advisor, his top foreign policy advisor, Randy Schoenemann, you know, the guy that, yep, by the way, convinced Bush to pay off Ahmad Chalabi $350,000 a month of taxpayer money here so that he could make up lies about weapons of mass destruction. Yeah, that guy, of course, is lobbying for the government of the country of Georgia, which is one of these countries, one of these governments that repress their own people. Or oppress their own people. You find it again and again. I mean, these guys are everywhere. So they think that this silly form they're going to fill out is going to take care of it. Well, maybe Rick Davis and Charlie Black start by both of them resigning tomorrow, I might, you know, even give it a hint of maybe believing what they're saying.
Well, and Cliff, what's fascinating to me is that the corporate media so far has seized on lobbyists for foreign governments. I think that's a critical issue. It's worth noting, and especially when they've supported dictators. The thing that the corporate media is passing on, though, is the lobbyists who surround McCain, and there are tens of them. I'll give you the reference to the website in a moment where you can look at this fabulous chart. But what they don't mention are the lobbyists for corporate interests in the United States, who the very same firms that have business before McCain's Commerce Committee, which he was the chair of until the Democrats narrowly took control. So Loeffler, who you mentioned, for example, has lobbied for foreign governments, but also for AT&T, the National Association of Broadcasters, Big Pharma, and a couple of airlines. And yep. So he was part of the Airbus deal. So this is something that the corporate media is filtering out. They find these you know, high-profile cases of lobbying for dictators, but not for corporate America.
Right. And I know which site you're talking about. I'll let you give it to people. And if you go to that site, the amazing number of these guys, you bring up AT&T. I mean, literally, these guys are so in bed with the telecoms, it's amazing. And remember, John McCain was on the Senate Commerce Committee that oversaw that. So these are all sorts of people that had business in front of McCain, that lobbied McCain in the past. And remember, these are also the people that agreed to join our government in breaking the law and engaging in warrantless wiretapping.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you want to make sure that there is telecom immunity and that these guys are never held to account and you don't know what they do with your personal information, well, geez, why don't you elect John McCain, who has all of their top lobbyists literally sitting around him at a table probably tonight eating dinner together.
And the website we mentioned is MediaMattersAction.org. That's MediaMattersAction.org. And it links to the book Free Ride, published by David Brock and Paul Waldman. And, Cliff, you're going to be on a panel with Waldman, Arianna Huffington, and who else coming up in June?
And Glenn Greenwald. And it's being planned right now. It looks like it might be the National Press Club in Washington on June 9th as a tentative date. Because
mm-hmm.
we all have books out right now. Mine and Paul Waldman's, Media Matters are both specifically critical of McCain. Waldman's looks at the McCain and the media. Glenn Greenwald looks at just the ridiculous Republican narratives and how they've pulled one over on the media with all the fake populism they use. And he has a whole chapter on McCain and the whole Western libertarian, the fake image he has of being a maverick and that whole thing.
Yeah.
And Arianna's got a new book out, of course, criticizing the right, too, and talking about the complicity of the media and allowing a very fringe group of people to essentially become the mainstream in this country. So it should be a lot of fun. I look forward to it. Hopefully, C-SPAN, some others will be there. And I guess I'll also say on May 30th, for anybody that's in the D.C. area, I'll be doing an event for my book, For the Real McCain, at the AFL-CIO headquarters. And it'll be from 6 to 8 o'clock at night, and we should have a lot of good speakers, and C-SPAN will be there, too, and we could talk about more about John McCain and his lobbyist friends and his bad temper and his wanton lust for President Bush's agenda.
Well, and
economics or Iraq.
We'll mention one more date, Cliff, because I know you're going to be in Minneapolis June 6th through 8th for the National Conference on Media Reform. We'll be broadcasting live from there, and I'm sure we'll be talking with you at that time, too. Let's take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk about the pastors who have been denounced and renounced and rejected, but they weren't thrown under the bus. We'll talk about that coming up next with Cliff Schechter. Grab his new book, The Real McCain, Why Conservatives Don't Trust Him and Why Independents Shouldn't. More in a moment. Your comments are welcome here at 888-5-PETER-B, The Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth.
Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
My name is Donna Shore, and my husband, Todd Hornick, is running in the June 3rd election for Superior Court Judge. Todd is a loving and caring husband and father of our two boys, Tarak and Nilan. Todd Hornick is a dedicated prosecutor with a sincere passion for the law and justice. He has used his legal career to advocate on behalf of victims of crimes and to secure necessary punishments for those who violate the law and threaten our safety. Todd's energy and enthusiasm for the courtroom is matched by his knowledge of the law. As an educator for the California Department of Parks and Recreation and the California District Attorneys Association, Todd teaches law to law enforcement cadets and experienced attorneys from around the state. My husband, Todd Hornick, has the comprehensive support of the law enforcement community, and he is the best choice for judge, beyond a reasonable doubt. Learn more at ToddHornickForJudge.com.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hard to believe Robert Palmer's gone on at that big fashion show in the sky, isn't it? And thanks to Caroline and Salinas, who tells us that Polaroid film is still available, but they're going to stop selling it this summer. Okay, so if you need to take those private instant develop shots, you've been warned. Cliff Schechter is with us, the author of The Real McCain. It's out in softcover at a very easy to cough up price of, what, $14.95 from Polypoint Press. And I encourage you to pick it up so you'll know all the details about the guy who claims to be a straight talker. And check out his blog at firedoglake.com, as the campaign silo is updated frequently and has a lot of great information. Cliff, one of the things that amazed me was that in one day, John McCain, while he was raising funds here in California, $2.5 million at an eBay event, or one that's put on by the founder of eBay, he dumped both of the pastors who have endorsed him. That's John Hagee and Rod Parsley. And, of course, comments were taken out of context from sermons that they gave years ago. They got the Reverend Jeremiah Wright treatment, but the media was very subdued in its treatment both of these astounding and offensive clips
and the way McCain was permitted not to throw them under the bus, but just to invite them to leave the bus, and they both agreed to get off the bus at the same time. But my theory is that because these men are white, that we didn't get subjected to the street talk of, oh, he threw him under a bus. And I just think that the treatment of these two candidates and their respective pastors has been remarkably different.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't even know if you can say that. If somebody has another theory, let me put it this way, I'd like to hear it. Because otherwise, I don't really know what the difference is, except for that these two guys, what they said is a hell of a lot worse than anything Jeremiah Wright ever said. You know, I mean, Hagee openly said that Hitler was fulfilling God's work by forcing Jews to go back to Israel by, quote, hunting them. That was supposedly God's will, because if the Jews don't go back to Israel, we can't have the rapture, so that all the rest of the Jews and everybody else who doesn't believe in Jesus dies a horrible death while they get sucked up to heaven. And in Parsley's case, ignorance and of history aside, making the kinds of laughable claims that he makes, you know, he's talking about a war against Islam. And, you know, we had audio or transcripts of my site from about 2 weeks ago at his church, which isn't that far away from, far enough, thankfully, away from me, but is here not far from Columbus, Ohio. And Ali North was there, and they both were talking about how the good Christian soldiers were there helping, you know, Muslim women and killing Muslim men, essentially, turning into a religious war. And Parsley, with his ignorance of history, said the United States was essentially founded to defeat Islam, which is one of the dumber things I've ever heard. So, I mean, you know, the offensiveness, I'm not even going into everything else, you know, with Hagee calling Catholicism the great whore,
right.
Both of them with very brilliantly anti-gay things to say. So Jeremiah Wright stood up and said a few nasty things here and there and got angry at his own country here and there. You know, a guy that fought for his country, by the way. And not only is he put into this scrutiny, but even after Obama distanced himself from him, we still heard about it forever.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm really wondering how much we're going to hear about Hagee and Parsley now, or if now they'll gently be shown the door and we'll never hear about him again. Because after all, McCain, the great maverick, straight-talking white guy, pushed his two white preachers aside. So I assume we'll never hear about them again.
Mm-hmm.
It's utterly ridiculous. It's a complete double standard. If people were subjected to 3 weeks or a month or however long of the kind of coverage that Jeremiah Wright got about these two guys' despicable beliefs, McCain would probably be 10 points further down the polls right now.
Cliff, on Thursday of this week, there was a debate on the Senate floor, and candidates Clinton and Obama returned to participate and vote. McCain was here in California picking up cash. And that didn't stop him from taking really cheap shots at Obama. Now, Obama stepped a little bit out of line because the Senate rules typically prevent you from naming someone who you are debating with or about. But he said, I respect Senator McCain's service to the country. I can't understand why he would line up behind the president in opposition to Jim Webb's GI Bill. Now, McCain fired back, mentioning that Obama, who did not feel it was his responsibility to serve our country in uniform, and then, challenged his experience and was just so condescending and vitriolic. It's only surprising if you don't know about John McCain's temper.
Exactly. That's the McCain I've gotten to know through all of my research. The condescending one, the one that calls Rick Renzi boy until Renzi gets to the point where he stands up and challenges him, and then McCain punches him. You know, the John McCain that calls his wife unbelievable names, that assaults people like Chuck Grassley and Strom Thurmond, that threatens POW activists that disagree with what he's doing on that issue. No, that's John McCain, and so it's no surprise, and we'll see this as the campaign goes on, that he'll act with a completely classless manner like that, like he did with Obama, you know, questioning Obama's patriotism and that kind of thing, when he can't even show up to vote for a GI Bill of Rights to protect our veterans' benefits, which, by the way, is bipartisan, as Chuck Hagel endorsed it sponsored along with Jim Webb, and also Senator John Warner, a World War II veteran, I believe, or was Korea, or maybe both, a Republican, also supported it. You know, 75 senators, I believe, voted for it.
That's right.
Only the worst of the worst Republicans who voted against it, because they apparently believe that they can claim they're for our country, but I guess they hate the troops and don't think the troops deserve any education or any benefits when they get back to this country.
Well, and they said that, you know, dangling these benefits would cause troops to leave uniform early. I just think that's astounding. Let's go to Mike in Fair Oaks for a quick comment. Go, Mike.
Hi, how are you guys today?
Good.
All right, how are you?
Good. Cliff, could you speak for a minute about what I've heard regarding the voting of McCain? He hasn't shown up. He's the number one non-show in the Senate.
Yeah, and that's actually, we talk about that in my book, The Real McCain, that last year he set the record, except for Tim Johnson, who at one point was in a coma, the Democrat who had had a very bad stroke, senator from South Dakota. Besides that, McCain easily missed the most votes. So that's one of the biggest parts of McCain's record that people don't know, is that he claims he's this guy that's a reformer and fights for you, but a large percentage of the time, he's not even there.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. And Cliff, the one thing I learned this week that even lowered my opinion of McCain further, his chief economic advisor is former Senator Phil Graham of Texas, the Dickey Flat print guy. Ow! That is so painful. Cliff, thanks for joining us. I want people to pick up The Real McCain and read it. We'll talk to you again real soon.
All right. Thanks so much, Peter.
And go to FireDogLake.com and click Cliff Schechter.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at The King of America.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hillary Clinton regrets if anyone took offense.
I certainly had no intention of that whatsoever.
High cost of holiday fuel going higher.
Based on what we've seen this week, we'll see probably a nickel more in increases on the weekend.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Jim Taylor. Hillary Clinton explains why she's still in the race for the Democratic nomination.
Now, my husband did not wrap up the nomination in 1992 until he won the California primary somewhere in the middle of June, right? We all remember Bobby Kennedy was assassinated in June in California.
That comment really riling the Barack Obama campaign. So an apology.
I, regret that if my referencing that moment of trauma for our entire nation and particularly for the Kennedy family was in any way offensive.
Answering questions of the Sioux Falls Argus Ledger, Clinton says she is not looking for a way out.
That's flatly untrue. Flatly, completely untrue.
No discussions at all.
No discussions at all. At all.
Obama himself taking aim at John McCain.
John McCain's been going around the country talking about how much I want to meet Raul Castro as if I'm looking for a social gathering. I'm going to invite him over and have some tea. That's not what I said. John McCain knows it.
If he's elected this fall, John McCain will enter the White House as the oldest first-term president ever. There are questions about his health, some of which are answered today.
Senator McCain is in excellent physical and mental health. We can find nothing in his medical history that would preclude him from serving as president of the United States with vigor.
The candidate's Dr. John Eckstein. Among the health info released today, McCain takes several drugs every day, from anti-cholesterol to antihistamines to sleeping aids. Conspicuously absent from the McCain campaign, the president.
For the first time next week, President Bush will attend three fundraising events for the McCain campaign, but not one of them will be open to press coverage. Initial plans called for Mr. Bush to attend two McCain rallies open to the public. But now the fundraisers in Arizona and Utah will be off limits to reporters, making it look as if McCain is trying to limit his public contacts with Mr. Bush. Mark Knoller, CBS News, The White House.
Now this.
Hey, honey, where are you?
Appliances. They're having a Memorial Day event here at Lowe's. They've got 10% off major appliances, $397 or more. You know we get 12 months special financing with purchases of $299 or more on our Lowe's consumer credit card? Then I'm off to paint. We can get $5 off 1 gallon Valspar paint. Where are you?
Looking at concrete.
Really?
Yeah, I really like concrete.
Come to Lowe's this Memorial Day weekend. Let's build something together. Credit offer valid 522 through 526. Additional restrictions apply. See store for details.
Buying a used car can be a roller coaster ride. Are you getting the car you think you're getting, or are you just being taken for a ride? Listen closely. Honda certified used cars. They're well-maintained late model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And now you can get low APR financing on all Odyssey, Pilot, and S2000 certified used Honda models. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Memorial Day weekend. And not as many bags going around the airport baggage carousels. Not as much holiday travel.
Stay home, yard work, hang out with the kids.
Why? The price of gas.
If you're in a commercial business, if you operate trucks, trains, boats that use diesel, you're going to see $5 a gallon as the average in New York by Monday. And that's really where some significant damage can occur.
Tom Kloza, Oil Price Information Service.
I'm Heather Bosch in Seattle, where I've been asking people if the high price of gas is going to affect their Memorial Day weekend travel plans.
Absolutely. Pretty much just going to stay in the area.
Well, yeah, naturally. The price of gas has gotten way out of control.
But some say they'll bite the bullet and fill that tank.
I mean, it's a sacrifice, of course. You only have a certain amount of time or certain days where you can actually spend time with your friends and family.
Everybody's still going to buy their gas because they got to go.
You're still going
to
go, huh?
Yes, ma'am.
Fire. CBS's David Martin reporting fire roaring through the nuclear aircraft carrier George Washington as it steamed toward San Diego from Chile. Pentagon spokesman Commander Jeff Davis says it took 12 hours to put it out.
And the ship's crew was at what we call general quarters or battle stations for about 12 hours fighting this fire. Fortunately, the fire was put out with no serious injuries.
If you're in the market to buy a home, the market is ready for you.
Existing home sales slowed 1% in April to a pace of 4.89 million, still down 17.5% from a year ago.
Walter Maloney, National Association of Realtors, says with more homes on the market, there are great deals out there. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, honey, where are you?
Appliances. They're having a Memorial Day event here at Lowe's. They've got 10% off major appliances, $397 or more. You know we get 12 months special financing with purchases of $299 or more on our Lowe's consumer credit card? Then I'm off to paint. We can get $5 off 1 gallon Valspar paint. Where are you?
Looking at concrete.
Really?
Yeah, I really like concrete.
Come to Lowe's this Memorial Day weekend. Let's build something together. Credit offer valid 522 through 526. Additional restrictions apply. See store for details.
It's time to turn off our TVs and turn on our senses. Time to dial up the daisies and kickstart the chrysanthemums. Time to uncoil the hoses and unleash the roses. With Liquifeed Advance, the new feeder and liquid plant food from Miracle-Gro makes feeding your plants as easy as watering and helps you remember there's a big, beautiful world out there. This weekend, get growing with Miracle-Gro. It's grow time.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
I am Peter B. Collins, and I am afflicted with San Francisco values. We know that's a code phrase for pro-gay. And I'm proud to be a straight guy, described as pro-gay. This half hour, we're going to talk with Wayne Besson from Truth Wins Out about California's lifting of the ban on same-sex marriage and about a new court case that challenges the military's don't ask, don't tell policy. A little later this hour, Professor Babak Rahimi will join us from the National Iranian American Council, and we're going to talk about the U.S. attitude toward Iran, the threats that were published earlier this week in the Jerusalem Post, based on comments that Bush made on his recent trip to the Middle East. And it's synchronicity or something. But just in time for my conversation with Wayne Besson, I received a brand new CD from Ron Romanowski, part of the duo Romanowski and Phillips. Or maybe they say Romanovsky. My Russian pronunciation's a little weak. But his new CD is called Turn Up the Fun, and it includes this tune which is called The Sanctity of Marriage.
In order to protect the sanctity of marriage, is it enough to keep the queers from getting hitched? Stopping there just puts the proverbial horse behind the carriage. Why not attack the problem at its very source? It's time to outlaw divorce. That's right, if we can't get married, you can't get divorced. If gay people can't tie the knot, straight folks have got to stay together till death do them part. No matter how miserable they are.
That is called The Sanctity of Marriage. It's brand new from Ron Romanofsky. And Wayne Besson joins us now on the Peter B. Collins Show. And he is from Truth Wins Out. They're on the web at truthwinsout.org. Wayne, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
You got that tune on your iPod?
I don't think I do. I'll have to download it.
Go to romanofskyandphillips.com. And they can set you up with it, and also a number of websites sell the CD. It's from Fresh Fruit Records. I love that. So, Wayne, what was your reaction to last week's Supreme Court ruling here in California, which surprised me, in fact, by overturning a voter-approved ban on same-sex marriage from 2005?
I was ecstatic. I mean, that's the only way to describe it. It was one of the single greatest advancements in the history of the gay rights movement. I mean, it was wonderful when Massachusetts did this a few years back.
Yeah.
But that's a very small state. I mean, California is the size of many countries. What is it, the fifth largest economy in the world?
Declining, but we used to claim that, yeah.
Maybe the sixth, then. So, I mean, this right here changes everything. It really focuses the nation's attention on this. People are going to be seeing couples getting married who have been together for 20, 30, 50 years, which really, I think, undercuts a lot of the right-wing propaganda about gay and lesbian couples. And so we're really, really excited about this. I mean, this, if it stands, and it would be monumental. And even if something happened and it didn't, we would come back and pass it anyway in the future. But the opinion that was written by the Chief Justice, Ronald George, was just incredibly articulate and eloquent, and really, I think, dismantled, if not filleted, opposition to marriage. It was just beautifully written, and I think it's going to be very hard, at least on a logical level, for conservatives to make their case. All they can do is appeal to the base, you know, discrimination and bigotry and stereotypes, really.
Well, and look at the prospect, and this is a very serious one. They have the signatures to qualify a ballot measure, and what will it do? It will amend the Constitution to impose what has been ruled an unconstitutional ban. That's how desperate they are, that they will be amending the Constitution in a way that the Republican-dominated Supreme Court of California has ruled to be unconstitutional because it sets up two different classes of people and discriminates based on sexual orientation.
Yeah, it's amazing that people just don't like the Constitution. They want to change it. And the Constitution protects people from mob rule. And this is really just an example of trying to mobilize to say a majority of people have a right to discriminate against a minority. And that's not what our country was founded upon. Our country is founded upon equality for all people, not just the people who are in the majority. I do believe we're going to win. And we're going to defeat this amendment. It's going to be incredibly tough. A Los Angeles Times poll today said that a bare majority of people in California would vote to pass this. However, that's often not enough because as these amendment fights wear on and people listen to the arguments and they see how irrational, for example, trying to ban marriage and actually put that in the Constitution is, support falls. That's why I think we're in good shape for the way the numbers are, even though we're down at this point.
Well, Wayne, the last poll I saw just of the public in general showed about 55% support for same-sex marriage. But when you know, drill down to likely voters, it is not a toss-up, but it's a narrow majority in favor of these civil rights. And, of course, you know, we're going to see nasty ad campaigns. We're going to see it used as a wedge issue in political candidate races. And it will be an effort to divide people. Now, on the one hand, they've put it on the ballot during a very high turnout presidential election. And we can hope that this will bring out turnout well beyond the conservative base that is a reliable set of voters here in California. At the same time, we can't underestimate the power of this in pulling people in to vote who ordinarily don't vote because their religious beliefs and the politicization of religion will lead them to register and vote even if that is not their general practice.
That's absolutely correct. I think this is going to be a battle, really, against whether Obama brings enough younger voters who were much more supportive of gay rights and oppose a constitutional amendment versus the voters who wouldn't vote for John McCain because they don't believe he's conservative enough, yet would come out specifically for this measure. So that's the question. How will Obama and the Democrats, in a very unpopular year for Republicans, bring enough new voters in and mobilize enough to defeat the old guard who has grown up with discrimination as part of their lives?
And it's
going to be really tight. It's going to be tough. It's going to be an incredible battle. I certainly hope we come out on top of this.
And we've seen rampant racism in the presidential campaign. We've seen widespread sexism. I acknowledge that. I'm not a Hillary Clinton supporter, but I have been offended by many remarks, comments, and campaign statements that have been made over the course of the past year.
Yeah, there's been so much double standard. I mean, the way she's been attacked in some of these shows. And again, I originally supported John Edwards and then it was tossed up between her and Obama and finally went with Obama. But the bottom line is that the attacks that she received over the course of the last year were so misogynistic. I mean, it was so unbelievably clear.
But Wayne,
it was under a different set of rules than everybody else.
But where I'll take this next is we've seen racism and we've seen sexism. But there are many people who are offended by those two isms who think homophobia is all right. Who think that, you know, denouncing homosexuals and the so-called gay lifestyle is a moral thing to do. And some of the same people would, you know, strongly reject racism on a religious basis, strongly reject sexism. But when it comes to Adam and Steve getting married, somehow they come up with a righteous sense of indignation. And so I'm a little concerned that it could peel off not true progressives, but some independent centrist-type voters who otherwise might support Obama.
Yeah, I mean, it is a shame that there were many buffet Bible types that will condemn other forms of discrimination, but then get all high and mighty when it comes to gay and lesbian people. It's just incredible how people will pick and choose justifications in the Bible to justify their prejudices, really, is what it comes down to, because they're not really following every word of the Bible. They're just following really what suits them in many cases. However, I think the world's changing a lot, and I think that the campaign has a very strong central message, and I think it's going to win, and that is that same-sex marriages will help gay and lesbian couples and many children that are in these families. But it doesn't hurt heterosexuals. It has nothing to do with them marrying. And I think we're just going to have to repeat that over and over again and introduce people to who we are. There was an interesting polling number that the people, the majority of 70% of the people who didn't know someone who was gay or lesbian was going to vote against this. So it seems that it's a much higher percentage when somebody doesn't know someone who is gay or lesbian. So I think we're going to have to introduce California and America to many of our couples, and they're going to have to make that judgment for themselves. But I think it's going to be difficult for these individuals to claim they're not being discriminatory and bigoted when they're denying, for example, a couple that's been together 50 years, legal recognition. And this whole separate but equal, I believe in civil unions nonsense, is just pure and utterly absurd.
Sure.
I mean, really, do we really want to have different sets of laws for different people? I mean, I can't imagine anybody would want to support something like that.
Well, and Wayne, what we have to hope is that the same maturity, or the maturation, I'll put it, of the American electorate that has permitted a black man like Barack Obama to get as far as he has gives me hope that we may have gotten beyond the homophobia that was driven by Karl Rove and the Republicans rather effectively in 2004, and maybe, just maybe, we're ready to be grown up and adult about this. We're going to have to wait and see. We're going to take a break and return with Wayne Besson, his website, truthwinsout.org. And as we continue, I want to talk about the court ruling that affects the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy in the military. But first, we've got one more tune for you about same-sex marriage. This is Roy Zimmerman. Take a listen.
Every time we think about same-sex marriage, it makes us sick to our guts. I mean, two people who want to commit to a stable, monogamous, lifelong relationship, what are they, nuts?
Nuts?
It's unnatural. Now, a man should not lie with a person who is a guy. He should only lie to his wife. The Bible is clear. We're defenders of marriage in three-button suits. We'll raise our double standard and see who salutes. Defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who want to get married.
Thank you, Roy Zimmerman. We're going to take a break and return. You got a comment about gay marriage and the California Supreme Court ruling? Bring it on now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hello, this is Jane Fleming with Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery in Monterey. And if you have a new emerging business like I do, consider advertising on KRXA 540 AM. KRXA is one of the best values on the Central Coast in today's competitive marketplace. Beyond Wheat has seen noticeable and consistent growth since our ads began with KRXA. We are muffins ahead in sales every month thanks to sales manager Larry Rathall. Call Larry at 394-KRXA. That's 394-5792. You'll be so glad you did.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Well, good afternoon. Happy Friday. Checking traffic on KRXA and definitely busy on a getaway Friday. People getting out of town for the busy holiday weekend. 152 eastbound to 156. Definitely seeing those brake lights. The traffic stays heavy on the Pacheco Pass as you head out to the Central Valley. Southbound 101, seeing those brake lights from Coyote Creek Golf Drive in South San Jose all the way down to about Tennant Avenue in Morgan Hill. We still have lots of closures. Santa Cruz County due to the Summit fire. Looks like it's about 20% contained at this point. Summit Road at Mount Madonna near the Buddhist camp apparently shut down. Highland at Summit, Highland at Bach, and Coralitos at Hames, Green Valley at Hazeldale, just some of the closures in effect up there. Now in Chular, northbound 101 before Chular, two-car crash now cleared to the shoulder. And Van Lomond, scenic way at Highway 9, a tree-trimming truck trimming some trees out there and partially blocking the roadway. This is brought to you by Hammermill Paper. Hammermill is guaranteed to be 99.99% jam-free. Don't you wish traffic was Hammermill? No worries. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. Here's another tune from Ron Romanofsky.
The donkey and the elephant don't really get along. One thinks that gay is not so bad, the other says it's wrong. But still there are some elephants who happen to be gay. Now why are they surprised when all the others back away? What part of we don't want you, don't they understand? Military, you don't tell and they don't ask. A macho institution that can really kick your ass. But there are those among us who demand to serve and fight for a country that don't give a shit.
Oh, sorry, I was supposed to fade that. I hope the FCC wasn't listening. That's Ron Romanofsky, and it's called Donkey and the Elephant, reference there to the Bill Clinton era. Compromise, the straddle, don't ask, don't tell, and don't sue. I think I added that last part. And it does seem that there's broad consensus that this policy is unworkable and that we've all grown up enough to accept open homosexuals, men and women, in the military. We continue now with Wayne Besson from truthwinsout.org. And, Wayne, this court case originated in the Northwest in Tacoma, and the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is based here in San Francisco, a three-judge panel, did not strike down the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, but they reinstated the lawsuit of Major Margaret Witt and told the Air Force that they have to prove that her dismissal furthered the military's goals of troop readiness. And every time I hear this phrase, I can't help but think of the late Strom Thurmond. Unit cohesion is the way he used to pronounce it. So this is a mini step forward on the court side. They seem to be very tentative here. This is the ultra-liberal Ninth Circuit that everybody, the conservatives rail against. What's your take on this? Is this an important step forward or just kind of a crack in the door?
I think it's an important step forward. I wouldn't say it's monumental, say the marriage decision, but I do think it's a big crack in that armor. That, I mean, before this ruling, the courts were deferring to the military, which were repeating that it was about unit cohesion and it would hurt. This particular ruling makes it so they have to examine how the individual who is suing and was kicked out of the military harmed unit cohesion. That's a big change, because now each individual case, they're going to have to prove if this would hold up. They're going to have to prove why this person should have been kicked out of the military, and it's a much higher bar to get over.
And do you think that since the plaintiff here is a lesbian, that it's a little different? Is there less fear of lesbians than of gay men in the military?
I don't think there really is less fear. I think it's equal for both, but I think that's decreasing. I know the military is not as homophobic as it was when this was first discussed during President Clinton's term, and Don't Ask, Don't Tell came up in 1992 and 93.
Well, we also have seen, I don't want to call it widespread, but significant instances of command rape, of sexual abuse of women serving in Iraq and Afghanistan. And so the problems of heterosexuals serving in a war zone in some ways have made the issues related to gays serving a little less obvious, would you say?
Yeah, I would agree with that. But even more important than that, the hypocrisy is that we're losing good people in the military the time we need them. I mean, there has been 11,000 people kicked out of the military, which is about the size of the surge, if I remember correctly.
That's about a third. It's about a third of the surge.
Imagine all those people who could have gone home and seen their families if we actually had gay and lesbian people in the military. And while it's a third, imagine well, you could probably put another third of gay people that just didn't sign up because they didn't want to be harassed.
Right.
So if you would count those people as well, it would be even more. So 11,000 since 1993, and that includes 58 Arab linguists who have been booted because of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, at a time when we just can't keep up with the chatter from terrorist organizations. It's just absolutely absurd that people are putting their prejudice before the patriotism. Do people care who decodes the message from Al-Qaeda? I don't think they care if they're gay or straight.
And, Wayne, just about 20 seconds remaining as we go to the music here. Do you see that there will be a sunset on Don't Ask, Don't Tell? Are we going to put this behind us soon?
I believe if there's a Democratic Congress and Obama becomes the president of the United States, we're going to see a change. It's not going to happen immediately because I think he probably would learn a lesson from Bill Clinton not to do it in the first couple weeks.
Yep, that's
but
smart.
But I do believe it's
Wayne,
the first year or two.
Wayne, thank you very much. Wayne Besson, truthwinsout.org.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Heading out of town. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Everybody's heading out of town for the weekend, and it makes me just want to run up to the security line and confiscate their shampoo. What are you thinking? Why do you play right into the hands of the petro tyrants? I know it's too late to change your plans, but maybe I could plant an idea for Labor Day. What is it that people do on vacation once you get wherever it is you're going? You check out the bathroom. Then you typically walk on a beach, go out to a restaurant, tour a museum, see a show, swim in a pool with strangers, mingle with people who speak a different language and dress differently, read, or just watch TV. Well, you know, that's all stuff that most people could do right here if you could get away from the computer and the phone. And in the end, that's what travel's all about, going to a place where the phone and the computer can't find you. Well, you know what? Unplug them. 80% of Americans live in cities, which means most of that stuff is a bus ride away. Yet a lot of people won't use their own transit system, but instead will travel 6,000 miles to use somebody else's. And as for beaches and sunsets, close to 50% of Americans already live within 50 miles of a coastline. So if you want to see a sunset over the water, half of us could get there on 2 gallons of gas. Unless the rooms are booked by people who traveled 6,000 miles to do the same thing. And as for mingling with people who speak a different language and dress differently, in a typical city you can do that just by missing an exit. The secret to beating the high price of traveling and to eventually lowering gas prices is just to click 3 times and say, I'm already here. Unless you live in, well, never mind. Now this.
Your precious lawn, destroyed by insects above ground and below. Bayer Advanced Complete Insect Killer protects against both in one easy step. Other leading brands stop at the surface, allowing damage to continue. But Complete's exclusive two-way formula kills destructive insects above ground, plus penetrates below ground to control root-destroying pests for up to 3 months. Damage ends, your lawn flourishes. That's the beauty of better science. Bayer Advanced. Better science, better results. BayerAdvanced.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffee-topia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Push down that weapon, or we'll all be gone. You can't hide nowhere with a torchlight on.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 34 minutes into the hour. And Marco, who is sitting in today at the telephone desk, is currently negotiating with a hotel operator in London as we try to reach Professor Babak Rahimi. He is a professor of Islamic and Iranian studies at the University of California, San Diego. And we understand that he is currently conducting field search on Iran and perhaps is traveling to or from that part of the world. And so we're trying to track him down right now. There have been interesting developments this week related to the U.S. approach to Iran and the intentions of Bush and Cheney. And it evolves from the recent Bush visit, the second this year, to the Middle East, where following that visit, the Jerusalem Post published an article that was up on its website. And then after denials were issued from the White House, the original article was removed from the Jerusalem Post website and replaced by one that reported the criticism and the denunciation, the denials, from the White House. And the report indicated that a senior administration official had told Israelis during the president's visit that both Bush and Cheney support military action against Iran, presumably before they leave office next January. And this followed some reports on NBC News that were of a similar nature. And so the White House has issued two of these denials this week alone. And I ask you to think back to January of 2003, when it was very clear that Bush and Cheney were marching to war with Iraq. And the president was quoted as saying, "There are no war plans on my desk." That was taken as a, you know, full-throated denial at the time. And we can only speculate. They were under the desk. They were on the credenza. They were in a file cabinet. They were in the next office. And so when Bush and Cheney deny what is being reported, we have to be highly skeptical. Professor Rahimi joins us now, and we've tracked him down. Professor, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, it's nice to talk with you. And I want to reference the website of the National Iranian American Council so people can go there and see a commentary that you posted recently. That web address is niacouncil.org, niacouncil.org. And, Professor, the title of your piece is How Not to Win the Hearts and Minds of Iranians. I want to get to that in a moment. But first, if you would, react to these developments this week, the NBC report, the Jerusalem Post report, and the denials from the White House, these all on the heels of high-level discussions with Israel and other parties during Bush's recent trip.
Sure. I think I very much agree with your comment. We know now that the Iraq war was already planned sometime around October 2001. And I think we should make the distinction here between the rhetoric we hear from the administration and the policies and the war plans that they have in the background. I think we should definitely make that distinction here. Now, I'm not saying that the U.S. government is actually planning a military attack at this immediate moment on Iran, but definitely there are war game plans very much are being operated in Pentagon.
Well, and there are a number of scenarios that have been discussed. There was a window in mid-May that appears to have passed. As I last heard, there are two American carrier groups in or near the Persian Gulf. And certainly the rhetoric has remained rather bellicose over the past few months. Despite these denials, we hear repeated reports, many of which I'm skeptical of, that Iran is arming and training certain insurgents in Iraq. Some of that, I think, is explainable because Iran is a regional military power. They have manufacturing capabilities. And just as the United States is the leading exporter of arms to the entire world, to imagine that Iranian armaments might wind up in Iraq is not, you know, it's not a stretch, and in my view, it is not direct evidence of Iranian complicity in the violence that's on the ground in occupied Iraq today.
Sure, and I think we should also clarify that when we're speaking of the Iranian government, we should ask which Iranian government. And I think what's going on in Iraq, most likely, and the faction of the Iranian government, most likely by the Revolutionary Guard, is probably participating in this. But quite frankly, things are so messy on the ground in Iraq and also in the Iranian government in Tehran, there is no way to simply say that the Iranian government as a monolithic entity is actually supporting some of these Shia militias to kill off American soldiers in Iraq. But I think what worries me, too, is the accusations that are just simply made in a way that is self-evident. Just because Iran is a Shia state, therefore it's supporting the different Shia military organizations in Iraq. And I think that simplistic arguments there, unfortunately, is very much of what we heard back in the Iraq War. Right before the Iraq War, the simplistic assumptions, the simplistic arguments, and unfortunately, those simplistic arguments were very much aimed at the shaping public opinion. And unfortunately, as you know, the last time I was in the U.S., which was a month and a half ago, I was feeling that. I was feeling that probably the American public opinion is becoming very much influenced by this kind of rhetoric that we are hearing from the administration. And I think that's probably where the danger lies.
And Professor, without overworking it, I believe that the critical word that you've introduced here is simplistic. Because in too many respects, the commentary and rationale offered by the Bush administration is just too simplistic.
Yeah.
For example, to say that we believe that Iran has the intention of developing a nuclear weapon, it becomes too simplistic because they don't have that capability today. And even the most optimistic projections are that it's 3 to 5 years in the future. And, of course, mere possession of a nuclear weapon does not define intent, does not define what kind of use might be made. And we coalesce with many nuclear powers around the world, including Israel, which we don't openly acknowledge is a nuclear weapons holder. And so simplistic thinking and also a lack of willingness to observe and admit the hypocrisy of American foreign policy in too many respects plays into this situation that is building heat right now.
That's absolutely. I wouldn't disagree with that. Unfortunately, I think the simplistic assumptions out there is very much being taken advantage of at the same time of the a lack of knowledge, quite frankly, of the Middle East and the region.
Mm-hmm.
And by simply associating countries like Iran, Iraq, and the people of the region in a monolithic block in itself is helping, unfortunately, justifying and advancing this kind of simplistic argument.
And let's,
I think it's an opportunity. opportunity for public arenas like this right now to very much dissolve those kind of assumptions and simplistic arguments.
Well, I'm happy to attempt it. Professor, let's just look at another aspect of this equation, because Bush has repeatedly used speeches at the United Nations and his own State of the Union speech to the American people to try to speak directly to Iranian citizens. At least that's the pose that he adopts. And he says, you know, we love the Iranian people, and our beef is not with you. The problem is with the people who run the country. And this is where your commentary, how not to win the hearts and minds of Iranians, comes right into play. Because Bush assumes that we can separate the Iranian people from both the leadership of the Ahmadinejad government and the mullahs, the holy people who form the Supreme Council that rules Iran. And as you point out, the more America pushes, the more it actually unifies the Iranian people around an unpopular government and, in some centers, an unpopular theocracy.
That's excellent, the way you just describe it. Look, it's very much like what happened right immediately after 9/11, when you had the terrorist attacks, and you had people that are very much all the way to the left that were, in some really strange ways, they were giving their support to the Bush administration. And the idea, the sentiment, as far as I remember, was that, look, you know, we don't like Bush, obviously, but we're going to support him because he's our government. He symbolizes the nation in some ways. And, of course, that kind of patriotism, whatever you want to call it, the immediate patriotism kind of faded away eventually. You also have that in Iran at this moment, and I've been living there almost for a year now doing research, but talking to people and doing a lot of field work. And what I have realized is that there's this very interesting and at the same time strange form of nationalism that has very much is now supporting the Iranian government and saying that, look, Iranians, we are right now under the sanctions, that there's a possible of a U.S. military attack. So, you know, we don't like our government. The government is autocratic, and we are also trying to democratize the country. But look, you know, this is not the time to talk about political change. This is the time to protect the nation against foreign invasions. And I think this is the dangerous turn of events in Iran, at least in the Iranian public sphere, because of the sanctions, because of this possibility of a U.S. military attack on Iran, that has actually brought the Iranian people, including the dissidents, including those that are trying to overthrow the government, closer to the Islamic Republic. And I think this has been very much counterproductive in trying to democratize a country that the U.S. government claims that its intention is with the Iranian people, that wants to support the Iranian people by overthrowing the mullahs in Iran.
And the next...
So this is the kind of feeling that you're getting in Iran. It's an overwhelming feeling of nationalism, something I haven't seen for a long time since 1998 when I first went back to Iran after many years. I haven't seen this kind of nationalism. And I would argue it's almost a kind of a dangerous kind of nationalism, because it very much stifles dissent. It basically demands of the people to not question the authority, Iranian authority, because there is this inevitable or possible attack of a U.S. invader.
I've got some more simplistic notions I'll bring up shortly, but first let's go to Ron, who's calling from Elk Grove near Sacramento. Ron, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. Here with 70% of this country, you know, against the current fiasco, this is getting really crazy. The Republican Party, it seems to be a party of hand-rigging liars and killers, addicted to bloodletting, and I'm really ashamed of what this government has done. Our gross national product has been dead Muslims, tortured Muslims and Arabs, unemployed and impoverished Muslims, and Bush, McCain, I suppose, can run on the Bush's slogan of tax and torture and spend and kill, and it seems to be at the behest of our alter ego, AIPAC and Likud, and dual citizen people like Joe Lieberman and others. We need to get a grip on that whole situation, which has taken our country down, and Iraq, and Iran, and our military, and they should all read John 8:7. These hypocrites, liars, including John Hagee, the phony preacher and minister, And, you know, I can only say 70% of our country is against it. We have to get a grip on Bush and his fake, phony, Luciferian Christianity and this whole demonic enterprise.
All right, Ron, thank you. You can tell what happens when people stay on hold too long. They build up that that desire to just let it all hang out. Thank you, Ron. You did that. We're going to take a break and return with Professor Babak Rahimi. Talk more about Iran. If you have a question or comment, there's room for you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Share a podcast with a friend. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and of course we have heavy traffic people getting out of town for the holiday. South 101, Coyote Creek Golf Drive down to Tennant Avenue in Morgan Hill, seeing those brake lights right now. Also eastbound 152 at 156, brake lights there. It'll stay heavy on the Pacheco Pass as you head out to the Central Valley right now. Serious fire still burning up in Santa Cruz County. The Summit Fire, Summit Road at Mount Madonna shut down. Highland at Summit, Coralitos at Hames, and Green Valley Road at Hazeldale Road. Some of the areas still shut down as they try to fight that fire. A new problem coming in for Salinas right now. This is northbound 101 at Airport Boulevard. Vehicle with a blown tire. They're trying to change that, and that may have the roadway partially blocked. Also, south 101 before Maston Avenue in Gilroy, a ladder, and that's in the right-hand lane. This is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control, where you see one pest, you know there's more. Visit OrkinMan.com for a free online pest test. Orkin, keeping pests in their place. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix with Traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Dr. Stephen Barkalow, and I'm running for Assembly. Did you know that 20 million Californians pay over $100 billion each year in health care premiums to poorly regulated insurance companies? Did you know that many of these companies keep up to 50% of your premium for their profits? Now, with my plan for universal health care, we can do this for 40 to 50% less, keeping the rest at home in your pocket. This means more money for you and your family's needs. It also means $3.5 billion each month staying in California's economy. This will change your life. If it bothers you that your premium goes up every year, or if it bothers you that you can't even get health insurance, if it bothers you that nothing ever seems to change in Sacramento, then elect a bold, fresh, new candidate who can get this job done.
Your vote can make a difference. Vote for Stephen Barkalow on June 3rd for the 27th District State Assembly seat.
My name is Dr. Stephen Barkalow, and I approve this message.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 9 minutes before the hour. We're talking with Professor Babak Rahimi. He teaches Iranian and Islamic studies at UC San Diego, and he's currently conducting field research in Iran. I believe we've reached him in London, where it's past midnight. And, Professor, thank you for
absolutely, my pleasure.
Staying up late and ruining your social life to talk to us.
I usually fall asleep at 3, so.
Okay. I wanted to follow along with your use of the term simplistic, because I think it helps define so many of the array of issues related to U.S.-Iranian relations. And the next one I want to bring up is that many people act as if there would be no consequences of a U.S. military assault, not an invasion, but a massive assault on Iran. And they've talked about hundreds of sorties over a very short period of time that they would think, they project, would take out the nuclear sites. We've got a non-nuclear bunker buster bomb that was specially developed for such an operation, and planes have been retrofitted, hangars have been retrofitted for this big device. And the U.S. and policymakers act as if it's a video game, that we could go take out these military locations in Iran, and A, there would be no significant civilian casualties, and B, there would be no pushback from the Iranian government. And we are so vulnerable, Professor, in Iran, in Iraq, the neighboring countries, our treaties and other promises to Israel. And so, you know, there are many fronts that Iran could take us on, either directly or indirectly.
And I should also add the image of America as a country that is supposed to be a country of benevolence. But unfortunately, since the Bush administration, he has become known as a country of warmongers. And this is sad in itself, the fact that that this kind of mentality, this kind of policies, the invasion of Iraq, and these kind of threats of U.S. attacks on Iran itself is really setting off wrong images of the U.S. to the outside of the country. But I think the idea of simplistic is central here, because, again, I'm going to repeat myself, that it's aimed at shaping public opinion. If you listen to President Bush's last speech in the Knesset in Israel, there was, of course, this famous argument that, look, you know, we don't want to talk to the Iranians because negotiation is almost appeasement.
Yeah.
And this is very much similar to what happened right before Hitler came to power, when he did come to power, because some people wanted to simply negotiate with him. And this is also very problematic. By cutting off the channel of diplomacy and communication, direct communication, you're almost, in a way, setting up an argument for war. And I think that's what was so dangerous with Bush's speech last week in Israel. It wasn't simply that, look, you know, we can't negotiate with the Iranians, but he was indirectly saying that, look, the only alternative here is war. And, of course, here's another simplistic argument that is being made here in front of our eyes, and mm-hmm. that's that negotiation is a kind of a feminine, so-called feminine kind of activity. Real men, like President Bush, who apparently fought many wars in Vietnam, apparently, real men, we have to use force, we have to use military in order to talk to people like the Iranian government.
Yeah.
But in reality, negotiation is really just appeasement, which I think in itself is extremely problematic, because mm-hmm. it's basically devaluing the most important thing about negotiations is that you're trying to avoid, by all means necessary, violence and conflict. And I think this is another, unfortunately, simplistic argument that is being very much sent out to the American public sphere.
And, Professor, one of the comments in the rant that we heard from the caller, Ron, which I think is a very significant set of issues, is that the U.S. seems to be furthering the aims of Israel at the expense of America's foreign policy.
I would actually disagree with that. I think what probably it's happening is that it's putting Israel at risk, these kind of arguments, this kind of rhetoric, because the more the administration seeks some form of military confrontation, some form of confrontation, even in the form of economic sanctions, the more the hardliners who are very much anti-Israeli will gain more power in Iran. And therefore, you will see more hostility coming from Iran that is towards against Israel. So in many ways, if you look at it, it's not really simply putting Israeli foreign policy in front of the American interest, but it's actually jeopardizing Israeli interest in the region by making these arguments.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think it's very much jeopardizing and undermining American interest in the region as well. So there are so many different ways of looking at this. I simply think that the administration has a very confused policy, foreign policy. That's really the bottom line of it.
And I want to direct people again to read your commentary. It's at the website niacouncil.org, the website of the National Iranian American Council. And Professor Rahimi, just about a minute and a half remaining. I wanted to ask you about a cultural issue related to Iran. A friend of mine, Robert Dreyfus, is a reporter, and he went as a tourist to Iran earlier this year. And he said one of the things, the most unusual things he learned, is that Iranian Shiites are able to take out temporary marriage licenses. And I had never heard this before.
Yes.
Because, you know, we know about philandering here in the West. It gets widely reported. But I found this very interesting. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Not that I've ever done it myself, but I know some stuff about it. I've read some books, talked to people. Look, I do have to say that this is rarely done in Iran. If it is done, it's done usually by very religious devotee people. The history of temporary marriage goes back all the way to the pre-Islamic era,
mm-hmm.
during the tribal culture of the Arabian Peninsula. The argument was that when a man would go to war, fighting against another tribe, when he would get killed, usually the argument was that the widow of that husband will be protected economically by temporarily getting married to another man in that same clan.
Mm-hmm.
That tradition kind of lived on in Shia Islam, but it didn't in Sunni Islam, because the Caliph Omar of the time, back in 7th century, he actually banned it, because someone actually asked for temporary marriage of his sister, and he got really upset.
Mm-hmm.
However, the tradition continued in Shia Islam. And it's regarded to be a kind of a way to do away with moral corruption, sexual corruption.
Mm-hmm.
So by getting temporarily married, you kind of release the sexual pressure.
But I understand it's kind of like Las Vegas. You can get a 48-hour temporary marriage license.
Yes, and you have to give a gift to the woman, the man has to give a gift to the woman.
Okay. Well, Professor, thank you for joining us. A pleasure
Absolutely.
To talk with
My
you.
My pleasure.
That is Babak Rahimi from the University of California at San Diego.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered, to my extreme surprise, that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Hillary Clinton says she's sorry. Grasping for examples of why she should stay in the race, she mentioned Robert Kennedy, who was still going for it when he was assassinated in June.
I, regret that if my referencing that moment of trauma for our entire nation, and particularly for the Kennedy family, was in any way offensive. I certainly had no intention of that whatsoever.
John McCain battling perceptions of being too old to serve in the White House, his personal physician releasing reams of medical information today.
He is healthy, he is vigorous, and he can fulfill the obligations of any job, including the presidency of the United States.
McCain does take a half dozen different medications daily, from kidney drugs to sleeping aids. $4 a gallon gas, keeping people at home this Memorial Day weekend. Tom Close, Oil Price Information Service, says steel yourself.
It's not a surprise, and we'll probably see some more increases just based on what the wholesale markets, and in particular the futures markets, have done this week.
Now, for some, the cost of fuel is no deterrent to tradition. Thousands of NASCAR fans heading to Concord, North Carolina for the Coca-Cola 600 this weekend. CBS's Anthony Mason.
We found people who drove, more than 1,000 miles to come see this race in enormous motorhomes that, chew up, 6 or 7 miles a gallon of diesel fuel, which is now, $4.50. So, we talked to people who literally spent $1,000 just to drive, to see this race.
And the high cost of flying is getting higher. CBS's Sam Litzinger reports.
Analysts say the airlines are looking for new ways to separate you from your money so they can pay for soaring fuel costs. United Airlines is raising the fares on most domestic flights by as much as $60 round trip. Spokeswoman Robin Urbanski.
We're looking at every aspect of our business and trying to offset these fuel costs.
And United says it's thinking about following American Airlines' lead and charging passengers for even one checked bag there on the carousel. Experts say these are not the last increases we're going to see in the weeks ahead. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
And add to the long list of things costing more, blowing your nose.
Falling profits will mean a 6-8% increase in prices for diapers, toilet paper, paper towels, and Kleenex. Dave Dixon with Dallas-based Kimberly-Clark says they have to pass on to you what it's costing them to make those products.
In the first quarter of 2008 alone, we experienced cost inflation of about $160 million, which is well above what we had put in our forecast for the full year of 2008.
The price of paper products goes up in August, diapers in July. Matt Thomas, CBS News, Dallas.
Cleaning up in Colorado, at least where they can. Tornado-strength winds whipping through Windsor. KCNC-TV reporter Rick Salinger.
Residents of the most damaged neighborhoods have been told it will be at least another 24 hours before they can return to even see their homes.
This is CBS News.
Hey, honey, where are you?
Appliances. They're having a Memorial Day event here at Lowe's. They've got 10% off major appliances, $397 or more. You know, we get 12 months special financing with purchases of $299 or more on our Lowe's consumer credit card. Then I'm off to paint. We can get $5 off 1 gallon Valspar paint. Where are you?
Looking at concrete.
Really?
Yeah, I really like concrete.
Come to Lowe's this Memorial Day weekend. Let's build something together. Credit offer valid 5/22 through 5/26. Additional restrictions apply. See store for details.
At Mercedes-Benz, we don't put our name on just anything. That's why every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz comes with roadside assistance and warranty coverage for up to 5 years or 100,000 miles. Only then is it worthy of the one thing no other pre-owned vehicle can offer, our good name. Visit your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for details.
See dealer for complete details and warranty coverage and roadside assistance. Certified pre-owned limited warranty provides coverage for 1 year up to 100,000 total vehicle miles from the expiration date of the original 4-year 50,000-mile Mercedes-Benz new vehicle limited warranty or from the time of pre-owned purchase if the original limited warranty has expired.
A multi-million dollar settlement between owners of dead pets and the makers of tainted pet food.
The settlement will pay $24 million to pet owners in the U.S. and Canada. About 300 people sued. They and thousands of others could be eligible for the money.
You're just a very handsome cat. That's right. You're a very handsome cat.
A woman says goodbye to her cat before putting him to sleep. He suffered kidney failure linked to the tainted pet food last year. Five companies were part of the recall. The food had a wheat gluten imported from China that was contaminated with a chemical used in plastics. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
It's supposed to boost sexual desire. Could be a killer. Health officials in New York are warning people to stay away from an illegal aphrodisiac made from toad venom. They say the stuff apparently killed a man after he ingested the hard brown substance. It's sold at sex shops and neighborhood stores under names including Love Stone, even though the stuff is banned by the Food and Drug Administration. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Hey, honey, where are you?
Appliances. They're having a Memorial Day event here at Lowe's. They've got 10% off major appliances, $397 or more. You know, we get 12 months special financing with purchases of $299 or more on our Lowe's consumer credit card. Then I'm off to paint. We can get $5 off 1 gallon Valspar paint. Where are you?
Looking at concrete.
Really?
Yeah, I really like concrete.
Come to Lowe's this Memorial Day weekend. Let's build something together. Credit offer valid 5/22 through 5/26. Additional restrictions apply. See store for details.
Buying a used car can be a roller coaster ride. Are you getting the car you think you're getting, or are you just being taken for a ride? Listen closely. Honda certified used cars. They're well-maintained late model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And now you can get low APR financing on all Odyssey, Pilot, and S2000 certified used Honda models. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
The Peter B. Collins Show is heard on great AM stations up and down the left coast from Monterey to San Francisco, Eureka, Coos Bay, Portland, and Seattle. We love AM radio, and as Brad Friedman joins us from the heart of Hollywood, we take you back to the annals of AM radio in Los Angeles.
KHJ Los Angeles.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Yes, portions of the Peter B. Collins Show are mechanically reproduced for consumption in Portland and Seattle and Missoula, Montana. Headquarters of BradBlog.com. His Bradness joins us. It's Bradley L. Friedman. Hi, Brad.
Oh, Peter B., how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. It's good to be back in the saddle here. And thanks for sitting in solo for me last Friday.
Hey, we had a great time. And, you know, unfortunately, every week I show up here on Fridays, I give you this horrible news about disasters in our election system across the country. Last week, we had, like, nothing but good news when you were gone.
Really? You did the happy talk for us?
We did. We had all of these great things were happening. Even as we were on the air, the photo ID restrictions in Missouri had gone down in flames. Arizona agreed to do voter registration at public facilities like welfare clinics. Hans von Spakovsky, the GOP voter fraud zealot, had withdrawn his nomination to the FEC. One good thing after another.
You had Richard Viguerie on. How could he bring you good news?
He actually did. Well, he brought good news as well because he was out against John McCain. He says John McCain has done nothing to court conservatives, and I even got him to agree that neither Rush Limbaugh or, get this, Ronald Reagan are actually all that conservative.
Hmm.
So that's not too bad, huh?
Well, that's very interesting, and I guess some of that's good news.
Well, at least on the voting front, on the election front, we had a lot of good news last Friday for a change. It was quite nice.
Well, I can't quite top that, but let's start off with the fact that HBO is redeeming itself. I was about to cancel my subscription because Bill Maher doesn't run all year long, and there just isn't much there that's worth the extra $5 or $10 a month.
Not since the Sopranos are gone.
Yeah, but this Sunday, and you know how HBO works, they launch a special movie like this, and then they play it over and over again. So if you miss the premiere Sunday, it'll be on, and then it's on demand on a lot of cable systems. But this is the film called Recount, and this is a fictional recreation of the events of the contested, or I would say stolen, election in Florida in 2000.
That's exactly right, and I've not seen it yet. I'm much looking forward to it, actually. But even as we speak here, just minutes ago, Desi brought up to my office here a package that was sent to me, a voting machine with a sticker on the front, property of Supervisor of Elections, Palm Beach County, Florida. This is one of the original Votomat, and when she opened it, believe it or not, Chads have now fallen all over my office floor.
This is a Chad-o-matic.
I'm not kidding you. It's all over the office floor here. Des is trying to set it up, but it's a Votomatic 3 that was used in the November 2000 election in Palm Beach County, Florida.
Any
famous butterfly ballot.
I was just going to ask if there are any dead butterflies.
There are indeed. They sent me a bunch of unvoted ballots here and the original ballot book with that butterfly ballot in it. Haven't even gotten to look at it yet for all the chads that are falling all over the place.
Now, what's the origin of this? Is this swag promotional gear from HBO?
No, this is actually the folks who helped HBO with this film, who had gotten a bunch of these voting machines that were used in the 2000 election. They actually loaned 24 of them, I'm told, to HBO to use in the film, actual voting machines from that 2000 election.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the kindness of their heart, these folks down there and their folks with PDA down in Florida have sent me one of these as a gift, one that was used in the actual election in 2000 and one of the 24 that was actually used in HBO's recount film. So I got a bit of a double history here, and I couldn't be more delighted about it.
Well, this could become an artifact for the Brad Museum.
It will indeed, and we'll try to get some photos up at bradblog.com as soon as Desi can scrape all the chads off her body. Actually, the film also tells us that the plural for chad is chad. So I guess she's got to scrape the chad off her body.
Oh, boy. Well, that is a beautiful item. And now, you know, there's a big flap over the Bush Museum at Southern Methodist. The Methodists don't want it there.
Is that right?
Yeah, so he may be a man without a museum.
Oh, well,
and
he can come borrow mine.
I do think one of these machines should be on exhibit at the W. Bush Museum whenever it gets set up, or library. I mean, a library for a guy like that?
I know.
It'll all be books on tape.
That's right. It's well, you know, although in all honesty, I have to point out with this film, and I hope they cover it accurately, because and so far so good from the clips that I have seen. But a couple of points to point out. Number one, Al Gore received more votes than George W. Bush in the state of Florida, period. And I think history needs to be much more clear about that.
Well, one named Hillary Clinton actually mentioned that this week, trying to breathe life into her effort to snatch the nomination from second place by talking about winning the most popular votes and then, of course, fudging to include Florida and Michigan.
Right.
But she was talking to Floridians and saying, well, look, we've got to count every vote. Look what happened in Florida in 2000. And it has created pushback from some of my listeners, Brad, who say, well, gosh, isn't that the first time that somebody named Clinton has ever raised questions about the outcome of the 2000 election?
Well, that's a very good point. That might be that. I don't think Bill Clinton actually came out and said anything about that either. And you're right. You know, and in all honesty here, as I'm looking at this Palm Beach County Vote-O-Matic punch card system here, you know, the problem was not with these machines. The problem was that they didn't want to count the votes. And they never counted the votes in the state of Florida until a media consortium and a bunch of academics did so later. That's how we know, in fact, that Al Gore actually received more votes than George Bush. But again, it wasn't the machines. It wasn't the voters. It was the fact that they wanted to stop the counting. And they never did count those ballots in 2000. Why it took 8 years for Hillary Clinton to come out and say something about it is somewhat beyond me. But that seems to be the way elections go in this country.
Now, Brad, you just restated the facts based on the whole postmortem that was done by a group of journalists and newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
That in fact Al Gore got more votes than George W. Bush in Florida in 2000. Now, here is a review from the television critic at the San Francisco Chronicle, Tim Goodman.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim operates in two modes, clever and snarky, and so I'm not quite sure which mode this is, but he says, recount barely tries to contain its bias. This is a movie that asserts convincingly that the election was stolen from the Democrats, and it only fleetingly portrays the Republicans as a group merely trying to keep what it won rightly. So that's his take on this. Now, my sense, of course, and I am biased, is that an accurate fictional movie would deal with the facts, which are that Gore actually got more votes than Bush.
Well, I hope that comes up. And I did see that article in the San Francisco's Chronicle, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did. I saw that, and I actually sent Tim a note and said, well, hey, what, don't you think it would have been a good idea to clarify the fact that Al Gore actually got more votes? And I sent him the report from those people who actually bothered to count these ballots, and it was by any measure, if you counted hanging chads, dangling chads, pregnant chads, whatever you want, as long as you counted all of the votes in the state of Florida, Al Gore would have won. So, yeah, history, it's slipping away, it seems, and people are under the impression that George Bush somehow won. They didn't. It would be nice if the media bothered to get it right.
And did he give you a clever reply or a snarky one?
Have not yet heard from him, so okay. I will let you know if he even bothers to reply.
And here's his line about Laura Dern, who plays the role of Catherine Harris. Let's see. Dern is in a can't-win situation here. Harris was a laughingstock, ridiculed on late-night TV, vilified as a pancake makeup Stepford cog in the Bush election-stealing machine. As an actress, not going for that would be tantamount to artistic neglect. Dern's portrayal is outrageously funny and will no doubt seem painfully and impressively spot-on to Democrats. So I'm looking forward to that because Catherine Harris really is Cruella de Vil.
I don't know how you play her and not get laughs out of it, frankly. By the way, I'm looking at the Palm Beach County the butterfly ballot in my hand here, the infamous butterfly ballot. I could see how you would easily choose Pat Buchanan instead of Al Gore.
Really?
Don't know if they did it on purpose, but I can tell you that this thing is confusing as hell.
All right, we're going to take a break. Recount is on HBO starting Sunday, so check it out if you have access. And I don't actually know how to copy it onto TiVo and then burn a DVD. I am impaired that way, but maybe there's somebody out there who can help you.
You know, they're using my theme song, Stuck in the Middle with You, in that movie.
I did notice that, yeah.
I don't know why. We'll call it a coincidence.
Well, and it's good for Steeler's Wheel. They can use the money. We'll take a break and return with his Bradness, Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com. He's with us this entire hour per usual. Call him if you have a question or comment. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. And you can email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
There's a good reason why SC41 Furniture is using all-natural, chemical-free mattress components. A lot of us have asthma, allergies, or trouble breathing at night. We deserve a clean, pure sleeping environment to breathe more freely. And for the rest of us, we want a mattress that we know has no chemical residues or odors. Our natural latex and all our textile components are certified ecologically pure. That's the SC41 mattress. We're so convinced that all natural is the way to go that we're also carrying old world craftsman quality furniture that is extremely sturdy, beautiful, and eco-friendly. And we've developed a line of special oxygen pillows for deeper sleep through deeper breathing. At SC41 Furniture, we have a reason for the things we do. Well, actually, several reasons. And they all add up to a clean, healthier, and comfortable place to be. SC41 Furniture, on 41st Avenue, right off Highway 1, across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz. On the web at sc41.com.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Well, the good news right now, Monterey, Santa Cruz, and Salinas, stalling accident free. Of course, it is heavy on your getaway routes, 152 eastbound at 156, seeing those brake lights, and heavy traffic on the Pacheco Pass as you head out to the Central Valley. Southbound 101 still seeing heavy traffic from South San Jose, Coyote Creek Golf Drive down to Tennant Avenue in Morgan Hill. And for Santa Cruz County, we have lots of closures because of the Summit Fire. The latest one, Browns Valley Road at Avocado being shut down, and 152 at Poline Road has now been shut down. Summit Road, Mount Madonna closed. Highland at Summit also closed right now. And this is brought to you by Mancini Sleep World. Save big during Mancini Sleep World's Memorial Day mattress sale. Rest easy with no interest until 2010. Call 1-800-64-SLEEP or visit sleepworld.com. If you spot a traffic problem, let us know. 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on under penalty of lawsuits. My guest is Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, the preeminent website about election integrity in this country. If you've never been there, there's something wrong with you, or you just don't have access to the World Wide Web, the Internet's thing. It's bradblog.com. Brad, interesting story broke in the Dallas Morning News last Sunday about the widespread, alleged widespread voter fraud in the Lone Star State. And I had a chance to talk to Wayne Slater, who wrote that article, and he's also co-author of the book called Bush's Brain about Karl Rove. Very interesting guy.
Yeah.
And he filled us in about this attorney general in Texas named Abbott. And when you break it down, there's not much to these claims of voter fraud. And we've defined these terms before, but we'll do it again. Voter fraud is when I go to the polls and impersonate Brad Friedman, or I try to vote twice, or I get double absentee ballots like a bunch of people did in Oregon during this past mail-in voter drive. If I intentionally cast more than one ballot or cast a ballot in the name of another person, I am committing voter fraud. Election fraud is when somebody running the election manipulates the outcome, cheats, changes votes, that kind of thing. So this is an allegation of widespread voter fraud. But when you boil it down, you don't even have an armadillo left.
No, you don't. As a matter of fact, he came into office, I believe it was 2 years ago, claiming that he was finally going to get to the bottom of this epidemic of voter fraud, as he put it. He was able to get a $1.4 million federal grant to set up a special unit in his office to stamp out this voter fraud. And at the end of the day, I believe he was able to make a total of 21 indictments in any case. I don't know that they were all successful, but 21 indictments over that two-year period, most of them sort of old ladies who got some help in voting absentee. There was only a total of three cases, I believe it was, where you actually had in-person polling place voter impersonation. Somebody said that they were someone else, or a woman who showed up, I think, and voted for her dead mother or something along those lines. A total of three cases. No widespread conspiracy, nothing that could flip an election, but it is because of this that all of these guys, all of these Republicans all across the country have been trying to put in place these draconian photo ID laws. Abbott says he still intends to push for one in Texas, and the reason is plain and simple, that they want to keep Democratic voters from voting, because those are the folks most likely to not have the type of ID that they're talking about. That was shot down in flames last Friday in Missouri, but was upheld a couple of weeks before that in Indiana. This is to keep Democrats from being able to cast a vote. Period.
And Brad, let me just adjust your numbers a little bit because I'm cheating. I've got the Brad blog open in front of me.
Oh, it's very reliable.
There's a total of 26 cases. 18 of them involve technical violations of mail-in absentee ballots, and there were actually two that involved individuals who actually committed voter fraud.
Right.
And so this obviously is blown way out of proportion. And the other thing that Wayne Slater told me is that there was a very serious case in the same election cycle of up to 100 tainted ballots. He didn't quite go so far as to say that he could prove voter fraud, but these occurred in a very rich suburb of Dallas where all of the votes come out Republican. And what he was able to point out in his study, his review of the Attorney General's effort to wipe out this massive problem, is that all of these 26 cases were against Democrats, almost all involving blacks or Hispanics.
Yeah, that's right. And I believe the case that he might have been talking about that they did not prosecute, but there were complaints about, was a case where there was some sort of problem with the voting system or the registration system, and the polls were getting ready to close, and they actually went out on the line and passed out ballots to folks before they even bothered to check them in.
Mm-hmm.
This was in a very Republican area, as you suggest, and this is about keeping Democrats from voting. This is the only chance that Republicans feel they have left. And this, again, was at the very heart of the U.S. attorney purge, because a lot of these Republican U.S. attorneys simply refused to bring the phony cases that the White House and the Department of Justice was demanding that they do. So, make no mistake about it. This is about voter suppression, nothing more. And it is very much at the heart of the Republican effort. And even though there's so little, I would say none, when it comes to evidence, that there's this voter fraud going on, you can expect to hear more and more of this between now and November, because these guys are desperate.
Yep. And they got the Supreme Court behind them. That's one of the real sad things here. We're going to take a break and return with Brad Friedman. Lines are open if you want to talk with us at 888-5. Peter B. You're tuned to the Peter B. Collins Show from San Francisco.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
California is in crisis. Healthcare, education, and budget woes are crippling this state. My name is Dr. Stephen Barkalow, and I'm running for state assembly. I've been in practice for over 30 years. I've been keeping a budget, making payroll, and solving problems for my patients every day. My family and yours face the same issues in this rapidly changing economy. These problems are urgent and personal, and we can no longer afford to wait for change. I want to put California back on top. I want our children to have the best education available, and I want health care to be accessible and affordable to everyone in California. I have the expertise to get this job done. I am the only candidate in this race who can make an immediate, tangible difference in your life around the issues of health care. And if we make just this one change, we can turn our budget around. It's going to take guts and tenacity, not political rhetoric.
Your vote can make a difference. Vote for Stephen Barkalow on June 3rd for the 27th District State Assembly seat.
My name is Dr. Stephen Barkalow, and I approve this message.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Our lives are the way they are because we insist upon ignoring one of the deepest truths
that has ever been given to us. Hate never yet dispelled hate. Only love dispels hate. These are the words of Buddha from the Dhammapada. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how honored I am to be with you on Saturday and Sunday mornings here on KRXA 540 AM. At 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to offer to you the alternative to hate and maybe help you understand the ebb and flow of love and exactly what love can be and do for a person like you and me. The peace we seek in this world is not through politics, religion, or philosophy. It is found in those moments of deep and profound silence where we recognize the truth that hate never yet dispelled hate. Only love can dispel hate. Come and join me, won't you?
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Ooh. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 33 minutes after the hour. We're talking about protecting our electeds. Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com with us as usual here. And lines open at 888-5-PETER-B if you have a comment or a question. And Brad is there with a lap full of Chad, actual Florida Chad, from a Florida punch card voting machine, a relic of Palm Beach. And, Brad, help me out here. I'm very weak on remembering movies, and you're a Hollywood guy. About 10 years ago, there was a movie with Drew Barrymore and Tom Green, and I think they were briefly married at the time, and he played a character named Chad, and he was trying to get into Drew Barrymore's pants, and maybe he succeeded momentarily, and then she was dumping him, and there's this scene where they had spent the night on a boat, and she's leaving the dock, and he's kind of pleading with her, don't dump me, don't dump me. And he says, what's wrong? Why? And then he volunteers, is it the Chad? And she says, well, yes, it's the Chad. Do you remember that at all?
I do not.
Yeah, well, maybe somebody can bail me out. 888-5-PETER-B if you saw that movie and actually remember the name of it.
There you go.
Now, Brad, earlier this week, Oregon held its primary. And actually, there weren't that many people who go to the polls. They sometimes drop off their mail-in ballot on Election Day. But it is promoted as, you know, one of the easiest, cleanest election processes in the country. And some people may not have seen the item at BradBlog earlier this week that some 30,000 voters in Oregon received two ballots in the mail. And I'm wondering what the outcome of that was and if they took any efforts to, limit the returns as they came in, you know, one to a customer.
Well, they've made some certain claims. There was 33,500 registered voters who received two ballots because what they did was they changed parties at the last minute prior to the deadline, and somehow some snafu or another resulted in thousands of double ballots going out to voters. Now, The Secretary of State Bradbury has claimed that they have provisions to handle that. I've been trying to learn a little bit about what those provisions are. Apparently, in Oregon, if each of these ballots is somehow barcoded, and basically if they receive two different ballots from the same person, then only the second one will count. Now, this leads to another bunch of concerns, as does vote by mail in general. And this is something that, you know, Democrats really have been pushing around the country. They're looking to Oregon. They're saying, hey, look how great the system is out in Oregon. Let's do it here, and we avoid all the problems with these voting machines. A lot of people need to understand, for a start, you don't avoid the problems with the voting machines. Yes, you've got a paper ballot, but when you drop it into the post office, you're dropping it not just into a black box, but really into a black hole in hopes that it shows up, makes it through the post office, gets there, someone decides to count it, and then counts it accurately on the same electronic voting machines that would count your ballots if you had voted at the polling place.
Mm-hmm.
So there's problems with ballot mishandling, certainly. There's a great lack of transparency, a great lack of security. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to figure out if they've got a barcode on these ballots to make sure that you can only cast one, how is it that that does not violate privacy and secrecy on the secret ballots? So there's a lot of problems with vote by mail that I'm hoping, although I'm not particularly optimistic, but I'm hoping the Democrats pay attention to when they're out there trying to push for this vote-by-mail stuff so they don't jump headlong into it the way they did with e-voting so many years ago and the way that they apparently are still doing now, according to Dianne Feinstein's latest press release this afternoon.
Now, tell us about that. She's teaming up with a Republican senator from Utah to put some legislation in to keep these electronic machines alive?
Yeah, well, she's the head of the Senate Administration Committee, and they are the ones who oversee any of this election legislation that may move forward. And she announced today that she and Utah Senator Bob Bennett have come to an agreement for a, quote, electronic voting reform bill. And they have not yet released the legislation, so I haven't seen it specifically, but her chief of staff sent me this announcement today. I sent some questions back, haven't heard back from him yet, but it does appear that this agreement includes allowing for the use of touchscreen voting as long as there is this so-called paper trail that goes with it. Now, you and I have talked for, unfortunately, too many years now about the fact that just adding paper trails to a touchscreen machine does absolutely nothing. And it looks like Dianne Feinstein has not taken away any of that, any of the reporting we've been doing for years at BradBlog on the fact that whether there is a quote-unquote paper trail printed out by these machines or not, they are 100% wholly unverifiable. And the fact that she's joining with Bob Bennett in Utah to push forward this legislation is, frankly, at this point, is simply mind-blowing. She needs to know better. I'm stunned that they claim not to, or maybe they just don't care. But, yeah, we're going to see some more bad federal legislation coming down the pike, and I guess we're still going to be stuck with these machines for the Lord knows how long, unless someone raises hell and lets Feinstein know this is not the kind of election reform that America needs.
And this comes on the heels, Brad, that I finally said something nice earlier today on the program about Senator Feinstein. It's rare that I find an opportunity to, you know, endorse something that she said or done, because she claims to be a Democrat, but all too often votes and talks with the Republicans. My point was that she has finally hit the wall and said she will not vote for the next supplemental appropriation bill for the Iraq occupation, $175 billion. She said, we've got to start using the power of the purse to change this policy. Well, she's only a few years late, but finally figuring that out. So maybe she'll learn about voting machines and paper trails sometime very, very soon.
Yeah, I hope it's not a few years. Frankly, it already is a few years too late. In this case, she says, under the act, voters casting their ballots using direct recording electronic touchscreen voting machines would be able to simultaneously verify their choices by means of independent paper, electronic audio, video, or pictorial record. such records would be auditable and would also be available for review in the event of a recount. Well, what we know is, A, recounts don't happen, and B, when you're using these type of machines, there's absolutely no way to know, even if you do bother to recount these paper trails, no way to know that this is actually what the voter intended, because most folks don't check their paper trails, and even those who do, two-thirds of them don't notice that the computer has flipped their vote.
Well, and you taught me that unless a paper trail is legally defined as a ballot, it doesn't enjoy the same legal rights and protection and you know, credibility. And you also point out that many of these recounts are meaningless because they occur well after the election has been certified.
That's right. And when you're looking at computer-printed, even if you call them ballots, but if they're computer printed, there's really no way to know that you're actually looking at the voter intent.
Mm-hmm.
Why she doesn't know this after all of this time, and I got to tell you, I'm pretty sure her chief of staff is on my Brad Blog alert list, so he ought to know better, is kind of mind-boggling. And it comes at the same moment, by the way, that we had the meltdowns with ESNS touchscreen voting machines over the last week or two. Notably in Arkansas last Tuesday, they had a local primary election, an absolute disaster. They had to recount votes, nine different elections. The results were changed. One was actually the outcome was overturned, once again, because these touchscreen voting machines just out-and-out failed. Something similar also happened in West Virginia. And I'll add to that one extraordinary piece that I saw in a report on this West Virginia business is that the county clerk out there had been, throughout the day, there was problems with votes flipping on the touchscreen. We've heard of that a lot. So yeah. He was going from machine to machine, precinct to precinct, and recalibrating these touchscreen systems during the day. And he admitted he was doing this, of course, but what the reporter who wrote about this didn't tie together is that the same county clerk was actually on the ballot in that election, that he was going machine to machine, opening up on election day and making adjustments to.
Nothing like self-interest to motivate you.
Unbelievable. Just unbelievable.
It sure is. Brad Friedman with us from bradblog.com. Let's see if I've put the cursor in the right place here. Oh, we're getting there. Hang on. Oh, come on, singers, get through here. Well, it's the short term. Well, nobody called to bail me out, but I did check with the Googles, and it was Charlie's Angels 2000 that featured Drew Barrymore and Tom Green, and he played the character Chad. And Cameron Diaz and Lucy Liu were in that film, and I have no idea why I saw it. I think I'm going to blame it on David. I think he made me go to see that.
I think I know why you saw it, Peter. Who are you kidding?
It's the Chads. Ben joins us from Salinas. Hello, Ben.
Good afternoon, Peter. You know, we have to realize we're dealing with this present regime, I'll be nice, that has successfully stolen two elections, 2000 and 2004. They have to steal one more to be able to get McCain to pardon all the players, much like an Iran-Contra, because the power to pardon is absolute. They need the pardon power to get Bush and Cheney to Port Paraguay where they can live with our tax dollars and our money free.
But Bush can issue most of those pardons. I don't know that he can pardon himself.
He can't, not from treason.
Yeah.
So this is where we're at, sir.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mark Crispin Miller was on our program a few weeks back. In fact, he was on the same day that the Supreme Court issued this bogus ruling about the photo voter ID in Indiana. And he made the point that his theory is that the Republicans want to get this thing close enough so that they can steal it without being noticed.
That's what Nader's job is, isn't it?
Well, I don't know about that. That remains to be seen.
That's true, because he's making some pretty good sounds lately.
Well, but we also have Bob Barr as a potential spoiler running on the libertarian right.
But
so
isn't Nader now saying that Bush and Cheney should both be impeached?
Nader? I don't know. I haven't heard that.
Yeah, that's what I've heard lately. He's saying he needs to meet Miss Pelosi.
Brad, do you know?
If he is saying that, I haven't heard it. I have seen, though, I got a blurb this week. Peter, you may have gotten it as well, from Vincent Bugliosi.
Bugliosi. I got his new book. He's going to be on the week after next.
Yeah, okay, good. And he's saying, essentially, either it's too late for impeachment, or in any case, impeachment is not enough, that George Bush needs to be put on trial for war crimes. And he, I guess, in that book makes the case on how that could be and should be done. And, well, I guess the caller is right. The only way to avoid that, if anyone actually bothers to do this, would be to have a Republican in office to, pardon him. But I don't know.
There's also the prospect that Bush could issue a bunch of pardons the day before he leaves office, resign.
Well, Cheney
would succeed him for the moment. I mean, that stuff is all possible. I just hope it never happens. Thank you, Ben. William in Eureka has been holding for a while. What's your comment, William? William, did you survive? I guess not, but thank you for trying and holding on. And we're going to take a break here and return with Brad Friedman in just a moment. 888-5, Peter B., if you have a comment, you're welcome to join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Checking traffic on KRXA, final report of the week. In one crash, southbound 17 before Ocean Street, Santa Cruz, two pickup trucks off to the shoulder. CHP is on the scene. Still very heavy, people getting out of town for the long weekend. Southbound 101, brake lights come on south of 85 and will stay slow down to about Dunn Avenue in Morgan Hill. Eastbound 152 at 156, still seeing very heavy traffic, and it will stay stop and go as you head out onto the Pacheco Pass out to the Central Valley right now. Of course, we still have some closures because of the Summit fire, the latest one coming in, 152 at Poline Road now shut down. Browns Valley Road at Avocado closed. Summit Road at Mount Madonna, that's been shut down. Highland at Summit and Coralitos at Hame, so avoid those areas if you can. 17 itself, not shut down. Traffic moving well, but smoky through the area. This traffic report brought to you by your genuine Toyota service departments. Toyota owners through June buy four tires matched to your Toyota by their trained technicians and receive a gas card worth $50. Road hazard coverage included. Visit participating Toyota dealers for details. Have a great weekend. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggie Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eats, and will return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. Or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise.
582-9149.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes in front of the hour. Katrina Rill, our producer, Brian Urban, assistant producer, are already enjoying the long holiday weekend. I want to thank Marco Berger for sitting in today. We continue with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. And, Brad, I got a note from a caller who couldn't hold on. He or she is from Oregon, says the barcode is on the security envelope and not the ballot. I'm not sure if that makes a big difference.
Well, actually, it does, but there were some details there that I was trying to figure out because the there was a commenter at BradBlog, and there's been quite a few comments, and I'm happy to see it, some discussion about those concerns that I had about vote by mail. A lot of folks from Oregon have been ringing in. One of them said that that barcode is on the outer envelope, not on the inside secrecy envelope that contains the ballot. My only question then is, in order to make sure there's not double voting like we talked about, seems like they would have to wait until all ballots were actually delivered, 8 p.m. on election night, before they could ever separate the outer envelopes with the barcode from the inner secrecy envelope. So I have some questions. I know the folks in Oregon love their vote-by-mail system, and that's fine. Not all of them do, I should add. But there are some very serious concerns that I have about it, and I don't think a lot of them realize, really, the transparency that they're giving up in the voting system when they do vote-by-mail.
And at BradBlog, you have a copy of the subpoena that has been issued by by John Conyers and the House Judiciary Committee to Karl Rove. Now, this is an interesting development. It relates to the desire by Chairman Conyers to get the comments of Rove under oath and on the record regarding the allegations of former Alabama Governor Don Siegelman that Rove conspired with a U.S. attorney and other cronies in Alabama to file false charges against Siegelman to run him out of office by stealing an election, and there are other charges as well. Don Siegelman, just confirmed today, will be a guest on the Peter B. Collins Show at 3:30 Pacific on Wednesday, the Wednesday after Memorial Day. What is that, about the 28th? I'm looking forward to talking with him for the first time, and it should be very interesting because, Brad, he says that this is a bigger issue than Watergate.
Yeah, and be sure to ask him, the one thing that the media has not really reported on is what happened in that 2002 election when he says that that the election was electronically stolen from him. In 2002, he went to bed. They had announced him the winner. When he woke up the next morning, he found that in one county, a single Republican election official somehow, quote-unquote, found 13,000 votes in the middle of the night on the electronic voting systems. So he says that he has told this to 60 Minutes, to Dan Abrams at MSNBC, but almost nobody has picked up on that aspect of his story. I hope you'll give him a chance to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I certainly will. Now, what is your sense about this Rove subpoena? It is an important step forward, but what we know is that the White House has already refused. There are issues about whether, as a former employee, Rove can claim executive privilege on his own. But the way I see it, Brad, this is going to go to court, and we wind up with the Mukasey Justice Department being asked to enforce this subpoena on the former White House employee, and I don't think that'll happen.
Conyers, I'm quite certain that Conyers understands that this subpoena will not be enforced by the DOJ. I'm also quite certain that he is aware of their right in the House to use the inherent contempt process, where they actually send the sergeant at arms out to make an arrest. And to use, I was able to actually confirm some months ago with the Conyers staff that there is in fact a jail cell in the basement of the Senate. There, they could go out, get Karl Rove, and lock him up in the basement of the Capitol if they wanted. That seems to me the only thing that they have left here, other than to run out the clock. I can't read what's going on in his mind, but boy, I sure would be happy if he was going to use that inherent contempt, because obviously the DOJ ain't going to get him anywhere. So it's kind of confusing where they're planning on going here. We have to just sit around and wait, I guess.
And one of Rove's cronies made the news this week, Tim Griffin, who was dispatched to Little Rock to serve as the U.S. attorney there as part of the politicization of those posts.
Mm-hmm.
He resurfaced, and he's doing opposition research.
Yep. Crying Tim Griffin. You may remember that when he was forced to resign after all the voter caging business that he was involved in came to light, he gave his resignation speech and he cried, and we carried it on Brad Blog because we felt very sorry for him.
Yeah.
But you're right. He's back. He's back at the RNC. He's going to be doing Oppo research. And, you know, once again, these vote cagers are, you know, back in place for John McCain and Carolyn Hunter, by the way, another person who was involved in the vote caging in Ohio, which is essentially sending out mail to voters. If they don't respond, then they challenge them at the polling place and targeting specific voters for that. She's now been nominated to the FEC. So this cycle continues, and unfortunately it means we'll have too much to talk about every damn Friday.
Well, and Brad, I just scrolled down here and caught this one for the first time. This is somebody who's just not clear on the concept. It's a photo of somebody protesting against immigrants, and it says, "Make English America's official language."
Yes. Yeah, there's a few more photos in that series of classic. Some other folks, calling for against the illegal aliens, calling for no more amnesty.
Uh huh.
No more amnesty. And then, of course, the famous fella who says, "What does he say down here? Get a brain, morons. Go USA."
On that note, let's wish everybody a very happy Memorial Day, and I hope you don't have to fill up too often. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, my brother. Have a great one.
Be sure to visit bradblog.com, and after that, go to peterbcollins.com, and after that, you should shut your computer down. Could be dangerous.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, How Reverend Moon Created the Washington Times, Seduced the Religious Right, and Built an American Kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Hillary Clinton is apologizing for this remark.
Now, my husband did not wrap up the nomination in 1992 until he won the California primary somewhere in the middle of June, right? We all remember Bobby Kennedy was assassinated in June in California.
Now, she was meaning to explain why she's staying in the race, but CBS's Fernando Suarez says it riled the Barack Obama campaign.
The reference sort of caused a little bit of alarm, wondering, you know, why she chose to talk about the assassination of Robert Kennedy, especially given the fact that, you know, Secret Service has been concerned with threats for Senator Obama, so much so that they actually gave Senator Obama Secret Service protection earlier than any other candidate in the history.
The health of Republican candidate John McCain, so much speculation that today the release of piles of medical history. CBS News contributor Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
He has so many different doctors looking after him, I thought was interesting. You know, 8 different doctors, all from the Mayo Clinic. He's obviously very serious about getting his health care.
It may be the new word of the year, staycation.
Staycation means I'm staying put. And that's going to be my vacation. I'm going to build a vacation into staying where I am.
Candace Corlett, retail analyst, describing a lot of Americans' holiday weekend plans, why we're staying at home, $4 a gallon gas, and it's probably going to cost more soon.
Based on what we've seen this week, we'll see probably a nickel more in increases on the weekend.
Tom Kloza, Oil Price Information Service. Fire on board the nuclear-powered aircraft carrier George Washington happened as it was steaming from Chile to San Diego. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports it took 12 hours to put the fire out.
It appears to have started as an electrical fire and then spread into other parts of the ship, where it turned into a more general fire, because, of course, there are a lot of flammable materials on a ship, particularly one that carries jet aircraft.
Fire and rain in California. Fire in Northern California, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger in the dry Santa Cruz Mountains.
We have similar conditions here than we had last year, which is very dry areas. The weather is very dry. It is hot. It is windy, very windy.
Rain in Southern California, making for mud.